Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and it's November 30th, 2009, and this is the Chris DeGenninger Open Forum. And the first and only caller I have right here is Robert Ashton. How you doing, Robert?
Oh, I'm fine tonight. Great. Just grading some papers. It's getting down to the end of the quarter here. So I got to do my duty.
Yeah,
but
we all work.
I was listening to you and the Sword Brethren on one of your recorded programs. I'm not sure which one of the Hitler ones it was, where you were quoting out of Mein Kampf.
Okay.
And funny enough, right in the middle of that thing, I guess the I saw in the chat room here you had the Frenchman in there. Right in the middle of that, the Frenchman's claiming that Hitler is a Jew, I guess. And
yeah,
funny
and
enough,
was,
in the recording,
no
if you
planes.
Ever go back and you called him an idiot right off the bat.
Okay, I probably did.
Which was kind of funny. I just thought that was amusing because that was a recorded program before the other night's incident.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. He has a lot of weird ideas, Frenchman. I don't know where the hell he gets them from. I don't. You know, I know there's a lot of heresies in CI. A lot of people come into CI and they bring a lot of baggage with them from whatever they, you know, believed before that, whether they were white nationalists or Southern Baptists or Yankee Lutherans. It don't matter. You know, they all bring a lot of baggage with them that they don't understand that to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like a little child. What does a little child have? A clean mind. No preconceptions. You learn the identity message, you start all over from scratch. Read your Bible and start over from scratch with no preconceptions.
That's exactly true, because I'm probably one of the worst of all being in the that Zionist Christian movement where I thought that the Jews were so wonderful.
Right, absolutely. And you really have to
learn
the
subject a little bit. If you go to Revelation, what is it, chapter 17, with Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, you're saying that that's the white race?
Yes, it is.
The woman that rides the
beast?
Yeah,
the woman's the whore, right. The beast isn't the whore, but the beast is what the woman's riding, that's for sure.
And the beast represents just the system itself?
Well, yeah, but not just the system itself, but the red dragon and the Jews and everybody behind the system. Yeah, sure.
Now, the way I see this, and I don't know if it's in your head, I mean, without the white race, this whole thing wouldn't be possible.
Well, of course it wouldn't. We're our own worst enemies. We're the ones going to Holland, you know, going to these movie theaters and giving these Jews $10 a pop to watch the garbage that they're brainwashing us with, and we're paying for it. They're brainwashing us, and we're paying for it. Now, what kind of deal is that for the Jews? They've got it made. That's some gimmick.
Yeah, I think there's probably even worse in the movies. Is even before the movies, we were killing each other, so.
Well, yeah, and it was in the name of religion, in the name of the church. In the name of greedy kings. I mean, it never ends, but it was mostly, I mean, most of the wars of Europe were, and you know, they were instigated by the House of Rothschild, by the bankers, or by the Catholic Church, which was instigated in large degree by the bankers. The Jews profited handsomely from the 30 Years' War.
Yeah, this other thing you were mentioning has bothered me for even longer than I knew who was behind it, is this usury money system. That's a huge enabler.
Well, that was the thousand-year reign was when there was no usury in Christendom from the time of Justinian until the time of the Medici popes.
I can see the appeal to it. I mean, essentially, if you can set up your own bank and you automatically are enabling yourself to profit from everyone else's labor. And even better than that, you eventually end up with everything they have.
That's the inevitable result of a monopoly on usury. Basically, I say a monopoly on usury because only one party gets to create money without usury. And the Federal Reserve bankers create money, and they create it from thin air. They don't have to pay any interest on it. They collect interest on it as soon as it's created. And if they collect interest on it as soon as it's created, then every dollar created immediately requires more than a dollar in return. So they create a dollar from nothing, and they give it out, and they get it back, but they get that back plus whatever that percentage is in usury that they've calculated against it. And that percentage in usury has to come back in money that represented real labor, goods, and services. And it's inevitable.
And to correct the system right now, you'd have to reset the debt. And they're not about to do that. They're just piling on more debt.
Right. Absolutely. There's no way to correct the system because it's a Ponzi scheme. And the inevitable result is that the person that gets to create the money from nothing is going to end up with all of the property that can be had.
I was thinking about if I had come up with that. It's quite an ingenious plan.
Absolutely. And that's why they insist that we import all these heathens, and that's why they insist that we break down all these borders, because the economic system is basically a Ponzi scheme. If it doesn't grow X percent every year, banks fail. It's the inevitable result of the lack of growth.
You know, the other sad thing they've done, too, is these property taxes. Because on what you own right now, you cannot own it.
Well, right.
Even if you own it, you end up paying property taxes every year to the Jew.
Right, and I'm guilty of not knowing enough about the history of property tax in this country, but it's evil. It's absolutely evil. I'm paying $400 a month here. $5,200 a year is the property tax on a house that my parents paid $75,000 for.
Yep. The same thing, my grandfather, before he died back in the 90s, he was paying, I think, about 100, it was 50% more for his taxes per month than when he finished up his mortgage in 1970, but by the 90s, he was paying more for his taxes than he paid for his mortgage.
We're already paying that, but the mortgage is, you know, my mother got bought out a year and a half before retirement from where she worked. And she got like an $80,000 settlement or something like that.
Yeah.
So they couldn't afford to stay in New Jersey on that without her working. So they bought this house up here. And they paid $75,000 for the house, and they put like $40,000 down on it. So the house is almost paid. You know, the mortgage is insignificant, basically, as mortgages go. But the taxes are unreal. I mean, you pay $75,000 for a house, and you're paying its value every 12 years in taxes, is what it boils down to right now.
Well, I'm kind of amazed because I tend to live with families and stuff, I told you.
Yeah.
And my combined rent on East Coast and West Coast is less than the taxes I would have to pay if I bought a house.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a cousin that left New Berlin, New York, which is two towns over from here, where she had a house that she sold for about $100,000. $110,000, I think, she got for it. It's on an acre. It's a beautiful, you know, it's a nice place. And this is really rural up here where we are. So it's not like the housing market down the city where the same house would have went for $400,000 or something, you know. She moved to Western Texas, Cross Plains, Texas. And she bought a house, a nice kind of adobe ranch home for about $60,000, $65,000. I forget exactly. And you know what her taxes are? $250 a year.
$250 a year?
Everything.
Yeah, well, that can go up. I mean, there are areas you
Yeah. It can go up, right. It can go up, but Texas is a pretty good – I mean, there are some states that are still pretty good with taxes, with real estate taxes.
Yeah. My dad in Delaware wasn't paying much, but Pennsylvania's terrible.
Yeah, Pennsylvania's terrible. New York is well, this is the it's basically the communist state of New York.
Yeah, New Jersey's actually worse than California.
Yeah,
which is harder.
New Jersey might be the worst. It might even be worse than New York, except for the city.
I have a cousin that lives in Pittman, and she says she's going to get run out of her house pretty soon with the way the taxes have been escalating. Their tax bill is actually more than their mortgage, and they only bought their house, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago.
The house that we...
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. The house that we lived in, that I lived in with my second wife, her family owned before I went to prison. And it was a nice 6-6-2 family house, 6 rooms upstairs and 6 rooms downstairs. And her father paid $10,000 to build it in 1963. And it was probably worth about $400 before it came to prison. That's my guess. And it was in 1996. I don't know what her taxes are now. I don't talk to her. I'd rather not. But in 1996, we were paying close to $7,000 a year, right across the water from New York City, taxes on his house. We were paying almost what it cost to build 30 years before. It's in taxes every year.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is people don't understand that a gallon of gas today is the same as a gallon of gas in the 60s or the 50s. It's just that the dollar's changed.
Well, yeah, the dollar, you know, when you take $40 million or something and give them to a nigger to play a game, they can't be worth much. They just can't. The dollar's worth like a penny of what it, you know, what it was when it first started out.
Absolutely. I mean, if you just go by gold right now, go from where it originally started to $20 an ounce, it's over $1,000 now, so you've lost, you might have 2 pennies on the original dollar.
Yes.
Might. And I think that's probably not looking at it correctly. Because gold's
right.
Probably.
I mean, even from when I was a kid, I mean, I remember a quart of milk my mother used to send me. I was 8 years old, so this is 40 years ago. My mother would send me down for a quart of milk to the store, and it would cost 11 cents. I remember that expressly.
You know, I think about when getting breakfast on, this is from my childhood, but getting breakfast on Kirkwood Highway, which wasn't much of a highway at the time. In the Wilmington area, Wilmington, Delaware area. And we paid 25 cents for 2 eggs, home fries, and toast, and a coffee. I didn't drink the coffee, but...
That's kind of
unbelievable when you think about it today.
Yeah, Patricia said candy bars were big and they were a nickel. I remember when I was in second grade, and this is a true story, believe it or not. I was in second grade. My mother used to give me a dollar every day for school. And I'd take the dollar to the pizza parlor, and I'd get 3 slices of pizza. And I could get a 20-cent drink and have a nickel left over for a candy bar. And the candy bar was huge. It was big.
Yeah, that's something else, isn't it? When you start to think about how they've escalated the currency, and then what you end up doing is you end up moving into the higher tax bracket, so eventually you just end up paying all taxes. I don't know how we're going to get out of this money system, though, Bill.
Hi, Mike. Sorry about that. I didn't see you there. I wasn't paying much attention. I wasn't paying enough attention to the screen until Patricia woke me up. I think Mike gave up on us. He went to play a video game.
No, I'm here.
All right.
Oh, you're actually... You know, it's not showing. I think my screen locked up. It loves to do that when I dial in.
Oh, TalkShoe does that notoriously. No matter what you do, it just freezes you up. Yeah, I want to bring up that point. I don't know if you wanted to bring it up on the show or not, but the little gold mine we found that is ripe for revival and cheap to get into right now. That has if I remember the demographics right, it was African American. It said something like 0.00%.
Are you looking at that picture of that church, that real estate ad for that church you sent me the other day?
No, but I mean, that whole area up there is extremely cheap to buy into right now. And quite frankly, you know, people go, "Well, the economy's horrible up there." Well, it's going to be like that nationwide.
It's going to be like that everywhere. You're right. You're right. But you realize where you're going, right? What you're looking at.
Well, from what I looked at, it looks pretty ripe and white, so I guess.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's on the same latitude as Duluth, Minnesota.
Correct.
And it's in the snow, it's in the lake effect snow zone. And you're talking about you're talking about 6 feet of snow all winter and 9 months of winter, right? I'm just cluing you in. I mean, it's going to be cold up there. But you're from up there, right?
Yeah, I grew up going skiing up in that neck of the woods. You know, they have four or five major ski hills up in the UP up there. So, I'm well aware of the winter effects, and quite frankly, that keeps the muds out of there.
I understand that. I have direct experience with that because in prison I lived in the back of the unit, and in the winter it was cold all winter, and none of the muds wanted to move back there. It was funny. They walk around inside, indoors, with their coats on and three sweatshirts all winter. It's incredible. They hate the cold. And it's probably it's probably the perfect weather to keep them out. But what's this with all these Somalians in Minnesota? That kind of breaks the pattern, don't it? That's kind of like...
They got an influx of, some of these smaller Wisconsin towns in the center of Wisconsin, like Wausau and such like this, they got a 40-50% Asian population up there now. They are flooding them in the colder regions of the northern United States in separate places. But the UP is seemed to be pretty safe area, and with the economy going absolute dump up there, I mean, they're not trying to ship anybody up there because, quite frankly, they don't have the welfare to pay for anything right now. I'm sure Detroit and Saginaw and Flint are an absolute burden to the state of Michigan as it is. And like I said, they're just early in the game for collapsing, so the housing market up there right now is absolutely ridiculously low. It is a predominantly white area. I mean, sometimes I was just considering the middle of Alaska, you know, not even – I was dealing with, you're going to have to deal with something negative, whether it be written in an earthquake zone, high Negro population, high Mexican population in the Southwest and Southeast. You know, there's going to be aspects wherever you want to land and settle that you're going to have to deal with something bad. And I could deal with the cold. I grew up in it. The semi in the neighborhood I grew up in, I mean, my grandma was from Door County up there. I grew up in Milwaukee and skied all my life up in the UP, so... You know,
what are you I mean, it's still Michigan. Even though it's the white half of Michigan, it's still Michigan. You know what I mean?
Yes,
how are the UP taxes? I wouldn't expect them to be much better than the lower peninsula.
Well, yeah, the taxes aren't bad up there. I was looking at, you know, properties. I mean, you can get a 4 or 5 bedroom house up there from anywhere to 10 to 25 grand. And I'm talking some decent housing. We saw that church that was up there. I mean, real nice church, and what was it? It was dirt cheap. I know it was less than 30 grand. They're selling their town halls, schools, you name it, they're selling it off at just pennies on the dollar. But the taxes I've looked at, you know, for an average house, say in Ironwood or, you know, random places in the UP have been anywhere from 75 to 200 a year.
75 to $200?
Yeah, a year.
For taxes?
Taxes up there, yeah.
What's up with the school tax?
Well, I guess it depends if you're going to live in a bigger county up there, or, like I say, a county that has a large public school district. A lot, you don't really have that up in the UP as far as your county-wide stuff goes. You know, I would imagine if you were somewhere in a Detroit, like I said, or Grand Rapids or Flint area, you'd probably be paying a lot more school tax. Like Milwaukee and Wisconsin, Milwaukee's actually more expensive in the suburbs, the nicer suburbs, and taxes for property taxes and such. It's just astronomical. You know, a regular house in the... Huh?
Well, we're paying $5,200 a year here is the tax rate on this house I live in, and $2,400 at school tax. And this is the whole county. I live in a 1,000-square-mile county with only 60,000 people.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is, but it's New York.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like I said, your houses are going up, you know. I've seen houses up there as cheap as $5,000 for something that's livable to move into. I've seen six-unit apartment buildings with five-car garages for $22,400. And those are all functional apartments, you know, six units in an apartment building. That's just cheap. And, you know, as far as the area of the country, you can't ask for a better natural resource than freshwater lakes all around you. Like I said, your huge downfall is the cold. That's a huge downfall. As far as I'm concerned, you get a wood-burning stove, and you're going to have enough trees up there to survive for the rest of your life for wood. But
yeah, sure.
But, you know, like, when I got out to the Northwest, I moved to Boise, and I had this idea that Boise was going to be this green wonderland like the Midwest was, and I got out there. The desert, any couple miles outside of Boise, and the desert actually has less vegetation than it does around Phoenix, Arizona, you know, down in the southern Arizona deserts. I mean, at least you had cactus, and you had the brush was a little more thick, and there's more plant life. I mean, I was just amazed at how lack of plant life there was in southern Idaho, you know, and I'm thinking, that's spread around, you know, a lot of the eastern Oregon states. So, and the whole Northwest migration sounded like a good idea at the time, and then, you know, I gave it a shot, looked around up there, and you can get up the Coeur d'Alene and all that, but then you're talking all the liberals from California are moving up there. Just the prices for property in the Northwest are ridiculously high.
I know the liberals in California, the Jews and the Hollywood types in California have already driven up the property prices in Wyoming and in Montana big time. And they bought up a lot of the bigger properties.
Yeah. So there's not too many areas around, like I said, that you can, especially in this economy with how little change everybody's got, to be able to get somewhere and settle in and make that move. It's just a matter of trying to retain some either employment or a skill or a trade that you can make some money on your own with. But I don't know. I'm certainly going to aim for that by springtime. That's where I think I'll be aiming for sure. I was looking all over the country and where we could finally settle in, because, you know, living in an RV is cool and all, but it ain't cool not to have your own land, especially if you're traveling around, you're in an area you don't know anybody. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it could be hard. I understand that. It's the UP is beautiful. I know it is. I've seen thousands of pictures of it. And I've had guys that I've known guys in prison that lived there. But they were young and disenchanted with it because of the employment, the dwindling employment opportunities. But that's everywhere.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to escape that now.
Yeah, that's what, you know, a couple of people have brought that up. Like, oh, you know, economy's so much worse in Michigan. I'm like, but it's going to happen everywhere. It's just they caught it early on. So at this point in the game, if you're coming from another state where you still got employment, you might have a little change left, you can beat the game for the rest of the country taking a dive, not only being a safe area, but, you know, I mean, if you're able to stack up a couple grand or get out of a house you're in right now that you might have a little equity in and actually buy a house outright and own it, I mean, you know, like I said, it's just a matter of figuring out something that you can do. You know, there's gigs where you can do medical billing online, or you can do there's certain online jobs you can do, or if you learn a skill or a trade, and that would be the hard part to do. You know, we're fortunate enough that my family is going to have possibly an availability to make an income up there, so, you know, it'll probably work out a little bit better when we get up there. So
yeah, where I live here, there's always nurses and teachers. Nurses are always. There's always openings for nurses and teachers. Not much else, but one of the supermarkets in town is closing down this month. It's incredible. There's two supermarkets, and there's a Walmart down the road with a supermarket. But this is the only supermarket that's actually in town, and it's closing. So, I don't know. The economy seems to be, it seems to be pretty bad around here.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad everywhere. I just, you know, I figure, you know, beat the game where you're at, instead of trying to struggle through and just dwindling and dwindling down until you have nothing and you got to fight the next man for nothing.
Yeah, right. Nothing's made here anymore, so there aren't any jobs. Nothing's made here. I had a real hard time. I bought some
a couple of small wooden toys for my new, almost newborn grandson. And we had a real hard time finding small wooden toys that were made here. You know, like a rattle
yeah.
or blocks. And we found some, but it was rough. And every store, we got them online. Every store that we went in, everything was made in China. Wooden blocks that's made in China. We can't grow wood here and cut it into blocks. Come on. It's incredible. Stuff I would have never expected to see made in China is made in China. I could understand all the plastic injection junk because, you know, they have no pollution controls in China and no OSHA and no lawyers. But wooden blocks are a pretty that's a pretty harmless industry, I would think. It's not just that.
They've taken our whole factories over there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's completely planned, Bill. I mean, this is something that is – there's no reason you can't do the stuff over here and instead of in China and have it shipped over. It's absolutely ridiculous what's going on. But
from my standpoint, you know, I come from the IT background. And if you look what they've done with that, I mean, the jobs that the hundreds of thousands of jobs they haven't already shipped over to India that they still have here. Like, I've worked at several big financial corporations where, you know, I worked in the IT environment. But all your top IT staff, like, take, for instance, this place I worked at called Thriving Financial for Lutherans up in Appleton, Wisconsin. Appleton has a demographics of about 95 to 97% white. Which is pretty surprising in a town over 100,000 people up there, but it's a pretty nice area. Well, this place that was, you know, a financial place for Lutherans, the lower IT people like myself, you can get jobs there, if, you know, locally and be white. But all the good-paying IT jobs that, you know, even I was qualified to do there, if they didn't ship them out to India, they shipped the Indians in from India to work there. So you would go in this workplace that was predominantly all white, and then you would see 20-30% of them would be from India there. And this is the same way as this other finance company down in Milwaukee, which was headquartered, Northwestern Financial. Same there. This other company I worked for called eFunds, same there. All the top tier, people in IT were these people they either shipped in or they shipped the jobs out. They completely dominated the field. I mean, Dell, HP, all these guys, they've shipped just hundreds and hundreds of thousands of jobs. You talk to these people, and they'll tell you how much you're making, the equivalent to anywhere from $3 to $7 an hour for a job that would normally pay $20 to $30 here. And then their top IT guys, you know, these guys that would be making six figures, those guys are usually getting about $10 an hour if they're shipped here to work here. And then, you know, they provide the housing, and they got little deals where the company sets them up, you know, the housing takes care of all their visas and everything else and caters to them. And that's just IT. That's the IT world. You know, that's not even production or anything.
I was in IT in the mid-90s. Hewlett-Packard was the first company to off-source code their drivers, you know, for their printers to India. They were doing that in 94 and 95, or maybe even a little earlier, and programmers were throwing a fit. And Microsoft was right behind them. And that was, you know, I remember reading I read the Wall Street Journal for years, and the attitude in the Wall Street Journal was that we had to send all of our dirty manufacturing jobs overseas to lift those economies, and that over here, knowledge jobs would take their place. And that was the wall. I knew they were snowing us then, that they were lying. It was all a Jew trick. And the third world started grabbing up all the IT jobs. And part of it was because, I mean, a good programmer here would want $100 an hour, you know. It was incredible, some of the rates they were charging here. But these Indians and Pakistanis and Chinese from Hong Kong, they were willing to do the same jobs for $7 an hour. It was incredible. And
yeah, that was a good living over there.
And moving, you know, moving the software production offshore, Those people can't create software. They copy it all from our open source projects over here. I think the whole open source movement was basically a scam so that American programmers would share their ingenuity for free with the third world, and then the third worlders would put them right out of jobs. That's my own suspicions, but I can't prove it, of course. But I've long suspected that. Because those people can't create computer software. They could copy and paste and change some parameters. But I think that very few of them could actually create software. Most of the ones I ever met were idiots. That's personal experience. I've worked with Indians and Pakistanis on IT projects, and I always thought they were straight idiots.
I'll tell you what, they flood corporate America right now when it comes to IT. You walk into a place and, like I said, even a predominantly white workforce, and you'll see 20-30% of them strolling the building, sticking to themselves, and chuckling at everybody else that's thinking they're getting their equal rights. And it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. I remember sitting at the lunch table, and you'd see 16, 20 of them sitting at a lunch table over, and I'd tell the guy I was working with, don't you guys find it disgusting that these guys are just getting shipped over here, taking all these jobs?
Well, I don't know. They go to work, too.
One of us is emitting some bad static that the people in the forum are saying is unbearable. I don't know. I hear it, but I don't know who it is. I just thought I'd mention it because they're complaining about it.
Is it still going?
It's kind of intermittent. There it goes.
I hear it, too. I was kind of wondering about that.
I don't know.
Want me to dial out and dial back in, see if it's me?
I don't know.
Same, too.
I don't know. I don't. Let's just deal with it. It's intermittent, but it's I don't know. The people in this forum seem to be annoyed at it.
I can't tell because I'm only listening to the telephone, so I don't know if I can't hear it on the forum.
Well, neither can I. That's TalkShoe cut you off. I tried Skype tonight. Mike, did you ever use Skype to get into TalkShoe?
Yeah, I used to use it. It depends what kind of internet connection I got. If I got a good connection, I use Skype because the actual the bit rate for the sound is a little bit higher than a phone bit rate.
I tried to use Skype tonight to call. I did a test on the Crystal AOS user ID, and it was absolutely horrible. It was I would hear my own voice a couple of seconds later, and by that time the person I was talking to was responding to me. And my own voice was cutting them out.
Yeah, you got to make sure your connection is, you can't be downloading anything or uploading anything, and got to make sure it's pretty streamlined, or else you will get the delay. Skype is very touch and go, that's for sure. So you're saying in the forum, it's my phone, so let me call back in a second here, and we'll see if that helps. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a guy I wasn't talking too long ago when I was ordering some magnetic material, Bill.
Yes.
And he told me that he had a factory for making small cores for transformers for power supplies for years. And it wasn't the fact that he couldn't do it profitably. He more or less got shut down by the government. They basically told him that, you know, you'll take this money, and they shipped his entire factory, lock, stock, and barrel, over to China.
He should write about that. You don't still know him, do you?
Oh, yeah, I have his number.
I would love an article from him explaining that. If he had the
I don't think he was into CI stuff. He was just a guy I just happened to be dealing with to buy some magnetics.
Right. It doesn't have to be an article about CI. I mean, it just has to be an article about what the government did to them and how it's basically a purposeful plan to turn our whole production, our entire means of production over to our enemies.
Oh, I mean, I quite frankly don't even understand why the entire white population can't figure that out right now.
They're all at Walmart buying the shit.
It's not only that, they've lost their farms, they've lost everything. I don't know what's left.
But they got a dollar off on that toaster.
When you go try to buy stuff that's American, it's almost impossible.
Yes, it is impossible. Oh, Mike is back and James has called in, and I'm not paying attention. I should start paying attention. I'm sorry.
Yeah, James might have something interesting to say.
Hello, James.
I think he's about 2 or 3 years older than us.
It's incredible the way the people line up to buy that Chinese shit. They don't even look at what they're buying. They don't even care.
Well, it looks the same in a lot of cases because it is the same. They shipped our factory over there and they're producing the stuff.
Right.
It's flat out amazing.
I don't even want to talk to people that buy shit made in China.
I would like to see happen, though. I'd like to see something happen where we go back over there and get our pillaged factories and ship them back over there, over here in their cargo ships.
Sometimes, you know, I got a stapler here on my table made in China. I think it might be the only thing I got, except for maybe one or two computer parts that are made in China.
I don't know how you find it
anywhere else.
My stapler's made in Mexico.
My stapler's made in China. I was in the store, and I looked at all the staplers, and I see a $5 stapler made in China, and I see another $5 stapler made in China, and I see a $15 stapler. And I don't have a whole lot of money, but, you know, I looked at it, and I said, I'm going to buy that stapler if it's made here. So I grab it, and it's a Stanley. And that used to be a real good brand, right? So I grab it, and I grab it off the thing, and they want $15 for it, and I turn it over, and it says made in China. And I said, I threw that right down on the shelf, and I got the $5 stapler, and I bought it. How do you want
to... Yeah, I have staplers you can kill someone with because I hate cheap staplers.
Yeah, right, but my point is that they got this brand name Stanley, and people are going to grab it right up, figuring it might be made here, and it's made in China, too. It's just incredible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's really not much. I'm surprised our water's not shipped from China.
That's next. Chinese designer water.
Probably the free arsenic, fluoride, and chlorine in it.
Yeah, the Jews will buy it up.
You know what's funny is I was looking for a gift for my son that's going to be 2 years old here next month. And I was thinking about getting him one of those little riding electric car thingies, you know. And I did find one that was not made in China. It's a couple bucks more, but it was actually a John Deere one. And it said, Assembly USA, Parts USA. I thought, man, is that a find?
Yeah, I guess it is.
So John Deere seems to be holding out there.
Well, they may end up with the same fate as GM or Chrysler. You know, you look at what they did to those two companies, is the second they were able to get their grasp on them, kaboom.
Right, four cops got killed in the Pacific Northwest, wasn't it? By a nigger in a coffee shop. I was going to post the article on my forum, and I'm going to make the headline, Donuts Don't Kill Cops, Niggers Kill Cops. I was thinking about that. That this black guy shot and killed four white cops in some coffee shop up in the Pacific Northwest. Yesterday or the day before. Complacency's a bitch. They're talking about it in the forum. That's why I mentioned it.
You know, they're still shipping people into the country, and I'm kind of wondering now. We had discussed a little while ago about, quote, a real military invasion. I've almost come to the conclusion we don't even really need that.
Right, we don't. They're here. All they need is the guns. The guns could come any time right off a Chinese container.
They could be here already.
They might be here already, too.
Yep.
They have total control of the ports, and they have total control of the shipping. We've just given it all to them. I mean, we've let the Jews give it all to them, but it's our fault.
It's the average American's fault. Because they keep going to the Walmarts and they keep buying the bullshit. They keep buying stuff made in China, Japan, Korea.
It seems like, though, the bill that every avenue that we would have recourse on has been shut down. Like, if someone thinks about it, it's already
shut down. Well, no, the one avenue is not shut down. And the horse is long out of the barn, okay? It's way too late. But the avenue that was never shut down is the vote with your dollar. And every time in this country since the 1950s, people had the opportunity to vote for their dollar, they voted for Mao or they voted for Tojo and screwed their brother.
Not only that, they vote by having all these mortgages. I've been trying to tell people for years, as soon as you get, and I know that they, at this point it's a little bit too late, but as soon as you go into debt, you are buying completely into funding the Jew. Everything goes into funding the Jew.
Right. Well, every time you pay for a movie, you're funding the Jew. Every time you buy a newspaper.
I still think that's minimal.
It's not minimal
because
when you do it once a week or every day. You buy the Wall Street Journal every day.
Think about it the other way, though, Bill. The other way is you actually are expanding the money system, which is screwing everybody through inflation.
Well, right. I mean, they're both evil. I'm not going to argue with you over which is the worst evil.
I would prefer, of course, to get rid of the whole Federal Reserve, like Kennedy tried to do.
Right. Get rid of the credit cards and the movies.
I don't think the credit cards are necessarily bad unless you're using them as a debt instrument. But, of course, that's what most people do.
How did James DeJust get muted again? I didn't mute him. He must have muted himself or something.
Did he mute himself?
I don't know. I can't unmute him.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Mike, I saw a real real estate company. I can't unmute James. My browser's not letting me. I'm getting out of the phone.
Yeah.
Don't back in.
I'm looking at this house right now in a town called Wakefield, Michigan, upper there, and I just posted it in the chat room. Four bedrooms, two baths, 1,500 square feet. Looking at the pictures, the place looks pretty nice. They want $4,900 for it.
Because they can't sell it. Because they can't. There are probably no jobs there.
Yeah, there's got to be absolutely none. I mean, all the businesses up there, all the commercial businesses up there are even shutting down. And, I found huge commercial businesses up there that you could buy for pennies on a dollar as well. But like I said, you would think, well, I'm not going to go up there. There's no jobs. But, at this point in time, how much longer can we follow around jobs and get caught with our pants down somewhere that we're not going to be able to be, to be set like this? At the very least, you would think, well, getting some property like this, if this they're cheap, and then having it as, say, a bug out spot or something like that would be the move to do.
Well,
there's a lot of people out here to spend more than $5,000 on a vehicle, let alone a four-bedroom, two-bath house.
Somebody sent me a link. I was looking at a real estate company in Detroit, and I was looking at houses. $15.
Yeah, I think I might have sent you that. Yeah, okay. Houses for $15, $30,
$25, $50. Yeah, real house.
Yeah.
I mean, no joke.
I admit the crack. I said, man, I said the copper piping in the house would be worth that much. And I'm thinking, nah, the crackheads already went in there and took all the.
Yeah, they already stole all that.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
When I look at all these Jews stealing all this stuff, it's okay with me because I know when Yahweh comes, we're going to get it all back plus interest. It's going to be double. We're going to get double our investment back.
Well, I know what the scripture says. I can joke around with it. If the Jews own everything in the world, how do we get double the world back?
Yeah, that's true.
It is the promise of Scripture that we will get it all back, and we will. There's no doubt.
It's the question is, how much are we going to suffer in the meantime before the rest of the damn country wakes up? That's the question.
I'm going to tell you what, it's very frustrating out there right now. Very frustrating. I spend probably, and of course I'm not bragging here, but I probably spend at least half my day or more trying to reach people. And basically, I see two camps of people. I see people who are racially aware, but can't stand Christianity. And I see people that aren't racially aware and claim to love God, but worship the Jews. And it's like you can't win for losing. And there's always some idiot that will come in on a forum or something like that, you know, when you're finally reaching people and finally getting through to them. And you know they're a Jew. You know they are. Just everything that they say, the way they say it, the things they say, you just know that they're a troublemaker trying to cause trouble. So it's very frustrating. Fortunately, you know, all we have to do is plant the seed. We don't have to make it grow, but still it's frustrating.
Right, we have to keep planting the seeds. That's our obligation.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know.
And it is exasperating at times. You're right. But we have to keep planting. Just keep moving forward. That's it.
Yeah, you got to remember when you're planting these seeds, I know a lot of people get caught up in the idea that when you tell somebody this information, that it's almost like we expect them to be right on par where we're at right away, and none of us got here within overnight. You know, once those seeds are planted, it might take forever for them to grow, but you know, some of them will grow faster than the others. But, you know, it's like, oh, can't you look around and see what I see? No, they can't. They really can't. You have to be able to plant the seed, and so that files in their head, and they, when they start recognizing it more and more, it grows, they get more confident, and it'll come more and more as you see. And it's better if you can work on them piece by piece. You know, and then, you know, a lot of times people get caught up in drowning people in information, and that, I've done that tons of times where I've just killed it by, you know, just laying an encyclopedia stuff on somebody, and then it just turns off on them then, you know, at that point. So you just want to slowly introduce stuff, and, you know, this all depends on what method you're using and what type of person you are and how you can deliver a message to the people you're dealing with. You got to anticipate that, and, you know, it's not just going to be a uniform message that's going to work with, say, Joe Blow A and Joe Blow B. It's just, you know, but, yeah, you have to keep working. You have to keep pushing and thriving.
Well, you guys have your own sites. I don't have a site, so when I move back to Virginia, I'm thinking about maybe going ahead and starting one. But, you know, if you have your own site, you can kind of put your articles out there, and then people can gravitate towards them as they grow. You know what I mean? They choose what information they take in. It's a little bit different than being on a forum of sorts, where you're talking back and forth. And I mean, I know that there are some people that can be reached, but there's always, I just see this total dichotomy within our race of these people. They're either racially aware and think Christianity is a Jew religion, so they won't have anything to do with it, or they're stupid and ignorant and blind and deaf and dumb and worship the Jews. It's just very frustrating.
That's absolutely true.
But I'm going to go back to Virginia. I've got to talk to my family face-to-face. I'm tired of sending them emails and trying to get them to understand and hoping that they're reading the articles I'm sending them. And, you know, I just got to get back there, and I think they need to open their eyes. And I think the time is right now.
Your wife moving back with you? I mean, I don't want to get any personal life.
No, she's going to stay here. She's got her mom is here, so. And I don't know how long I'm going to be there. It may be a couple of months. It may be a year. Who knows? But I am going to move back there so that I can try and reach them. That's the overriding thing, the overriding force for me right now. And now I've tried to reach her family, and it's a no-go. I mean, I just know it's a no-go. So, you know, I've done all I can do here. I mean,
she's from Arizona?
She's actually from Washington State, Everett, Washington. But her family has lived here for 32 years, something like that. So.
Yeah, I remember there was a big exodus to Arizona in the 80s from all sorts of places.
Oh, yeah. And it's beautiful here, and I love it here. But, and I've got lots of friends. But, you know, I like the changing of the seasons, too. I like to see the leaves, and I like to see trees.
Well, the changing of the seasons here in upstate New York was fine until today. I mean, it was beautiful yesterday. I went out, and I walked 5 miles and just wore a sweatshirt, and that was probably too much. And today it's the temperature dropped 20 degrees, and it's cold and rainy, and I ran out to the store for a half a gallon of milk, and it was snowing. It's winter all of a sudden.
Well, it's got cold here too. I think it probably got down to about 50 last night. It's probably about 55 right now, which is
50
cold.
50 is not cold, James.
Yes, cold.
50 cannot possibly be cold.
When you're used to hot, that believe me, everything is relative.
I'll walk around in shorts and a t-shirt in 50.
Not me. I've gotten acclimated. I get cold real easy now. I think we all ought to move to Montana. Pat and I were talking, or you know, on the forum here, and we both love Montana.
Yeah, but the yuppies took it over. I mean, it's all Ted Turner land now.
Well, we'll just move out onto federal land since we own it anyway. And we'll set up our own CI commune. Nobody will pay taxes. The law of the land will be Ten Commandments. I think it's a good idea.
And I think it'll get infiltrated and the Jews will destroy it.
Wow.
The
as long as we have
planet.
Well, you want to know something?
I'm just letting you know what the usual pattern is. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm just making predictions from the usual pattern.
You remember, well, we were talking about this earlier, that all these white nationalist groups always seem to get infiltrated with all these troublemakers, these Jews and so forth. And that's one thing I feel pretty good about in CI is that, you know, with time, it may not be readily apparent, but with time, you can weed out the bad ones because we have a standard that we go by. That standard does not change, and we're not looking for any big-headed leaders to take charge because we already have one. Well, he's not big-headed. Sorry, God. But he's a, you know, he's...
That's good.
But he's, you know, we already have somebody.
Well, absolutely. That's what people and I, you know, there's a lot of people in identity with big heads, and we have to realize that we only have one leader. That's of the utmost importance.
Yes. And that's one of the arguments or one of the selling points I try.
Hello.
I think we just lost
James.
Yeah, we lost somebody.
Hello?
That was quite an exodus.
There you go.
What's up?
What was that?
I just, I don't know, something just happened with the phone.
Okay. I thought I lost these all for a second there.
Yeah, it just kind of cuts off on me. It was doing the same thing it was doing today. And the same thing's going on with my computer. It's really weird. I mean, I'm used to having my computer go slow at times, but I'm losing communications and everything else. So, I don't know what's going on.
That's okay. You didn't try Skype? You should try to dial in with Skype real quick.
I did. That was when you couldn't unmute me. I had tried Skype first, and you want to know what? It makes sense, because if I can hear the show, because I was listening to the show through my earphones, with my mouthpiece for Skype. And it would make sense that I would get feedback. Because the same thing that I'm listening with is the same thing I'm trying to talk to through.
So. Hey, Bill and Bob.
Yes. Oh. Yes, almost.
Hey, the guys in the chat right now went to look. He's what I'll tell you that he listened to the show we did with the No Planer guy that he used to troll around in these chats.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys that said, yeah, that was an excellent, I think he classified it a couple times as after the first 15 minutes, where was the referee who was in his corner should have thrown in the white towel.
Yeah. Yes,
he's quite brutal.
Thanks, Wolf. Mike, maybe you want to put the link into that Inquisition again so people could check it out if they want. Frenchman. I haven't seen Frenchman since. I don't know. I
haven't either.
I hate to do that to a guy. If you want to run your mouth, you have to have facts. Solid facts. Solid data. Solid facts. He didn't have them.
I hate to say this, but I didn't hate to do that to him.
Well, I mean, I really
he
hate
he deserved to get thrown off.
Yeah,
he was out of control.
I hate
totally
to,
ridiculous stuff, Bill.
I don't know
why you had so much patience with him.
I hate to feel like I hate to feel like I smacked around any Christian brother.
The night you were on there with RV.
Well, RV's not a Christian. RV's not a Christian. He's wearing purple.
Oh, I don't think this John Frenchman is either. I mean, he had every sign of being exactly who he thought he was.
You're right, but he professes to be. And RV doesn't, so he wears the purple lipstick.
I'm throwing him out of the church until he comes back and confesses his sins of being a Jew.
Well, then you'd have to throw him out anyway.
Yeah, I know.
So you're going to let him back in just to throw him out again? That's pretty good.
Exactly.
I'd like to do that to a couple of Jews. Hey, come on in. Kick your ass back out.
Well, yeah, it probably took you a little bit longer. I mean, with this whole Arlene thing, you had to take that out of there and take that out to the trash, too. I mean, it's just, it's good sometimes to clean house when you know someone's in there just poisoning the well. I mean, that's...
Yeah, she's absolutely poisoning in the well. Because if a newcomer comes in this forum and is listening to myself or Eli James and we're giving a discourse on one facet or another of Christian identity, and Arlene's there advertising her website, and the newcomer clicks on Arlene's website and sees that she's pro-abortion, sees that she wants to give every nigger in the country $40,000 of the taxpayers' money, and all this other stuff that's on her site, what's the newcomer going to think about myself or Eli James and Christian identity? I mean, I'd be out of there in a second. I wouldn't go back in that forum. That's why she had to be exposed.
Well, as a person that's attended church all my life until I became an adult, you know, much later in my adult life, I can tell you that every time I have ever seen dissension within the church or seen a church split or seen a church fall, it's because they were too soft and allowed any kind of person to come in there. And you have to keep the weeds out. You have
right.
to.
You're right. We have to at least try our best to.
So, speaking of such, has anybody addressed either on one of these forums or through it? I think, Bill, you were talking about it, something about this we were talking about the other day, but this Kemp ordeal. This Arthur Kemp thing, I don't know if you guys have gotten into that or addressed
yeah, right.
it or anything.
Sword Brethren asked me if I wanted to participate, and I told him of course I would. And he went to try to challenge Arthur Kemp to a debate, and Kemp, he can't get through anywhere. He can't. He put up posts in forums that Kemp frequents, and they got taken down. And Eli said that he's going to challenge Arthur Kemp. I'd love to debate with Arthur Kemp. I think he's a puke Jew butt wipe, and I'd love to debate with him. He's the one
that said that Christian identity adherents are mentally ill.
Yeah, I'd love to debate with him just on the origins of the Aryan people and the European, you know, the white European. You know, I know he wrote March of the Titans. I would use it to line my birdcage if I had a bird and if I spent the $50 on the book, which I'm glad I never did. I really don't think he really knows what he's talking about. He might just be a Jew boiling the well, as you like to say.
Well, there's plenty of them.
Winter Wolf was asking if that's the same Sword Brethren that was banned from Stormfront.
Yeah, that's the same Sword Brethren that's banned from Stormfront. He does programs here on Talk to You on Friday, on Saturday and Sunday usually. And I do for the last 2 months I've been doing a series on Adolf Hitler and Mein Kampf with him on Sunday evenings.
Yeah, Sword Brethren is good folks.
Well, yeah, I'd love to get a hold of Arthur Kent. But and Eli mentioned on the phone to me today that he's going to try to.
Did anybody listen to Eli on Free America?
Was he on today?
No, this was the last show he did. I can't remember the name of the guy.
On Thursday,
yeah.
He was on Clay Douglas, right. On
yeah.
Thursday morning, I had a link on the front page of my site, and I went to it. He wasn't on as of about 20 after the hour, and I got some phone calls, and I had to handle it, and I couldn't listen to the rest of it.
Did you see how Flame sits
there? Excuse me? You're cutting out. Hello?
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought James cut out again.
No, it's I'm here. I don't know who
okay.
that was.
You were going to say, James?
No, I was just going to say that's recorded. I think I listened to it maybe last night. And there were a couple of spots where Eli got some fire under him, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
He did a good job.
Good. Yeah, I would probably like to go back and listen to that. He's on Rick Adams coming up soon. And he asked me if I'd like to go on Rick Adams with him soon to discuss Revelations chapter 20. And of course I would. I don't know if I could deal with that Republic Radio format. It sucks. I mean, you got 12 minutes of commercials every 15 minutes. It seems like that anyway. It takes me that long to warm up.
Well, I'm hoping everybody's going to be calling in tomorrow night. I'm going to need some help from my friends.
Yeah, tomorrow night James has his first turn at the Christaleos Fellowship Forum at 8 p.m. on TalkShoe. The link will be on the front page of Christogenia. You guys are awfully quiet tonight. This is out of character.
You know, Bill, I was thinking there was some mention, I think James might have mentioned the fact that starting his own website up. But if I remember correctly, you said if someone had a decent article, you wouldn't mind publishing that on there on your website. Is that correct?
That's correct, and there's a few ways to go about it. I mean, I'd be willing to consider publishing anything that he might have. Plus, I have a reader's blog that I posted that I created that nobody's ever taken advantage of. And in addition
to
that,
I think ProThink also does similar stuff with good material from other people.
And in addition to that,
it can be quite a headache trying to maintain a website. It can take up a lot of time.
Yeah, well, in addition to that, I might even consider throwing a blog or something up for them. I mean, that wouldn't take any much work.
You know, the other James from Central California seems to be on there. I don't know if you've got him muted right now.
Oh, well, you know, I don't see him in a list because he's just below the line. I mean, there's
Oh, you can't move him? Oh, there you go.
Oh, you
well,
finally
no,
got...
I can't move him, and if I don't see him, you know, he's all the way down the bottom. For some reason, everybody called in is on the top, and he's all the way down the bottom, and he was below the, you know, below the bottom of the window.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, we can hear you now.
I'll be damned. I tried to get back on 3 or 4 times, and this is the first time I've had this much trouble. I don't know what's going on. Wickstrom said he's had a lot of trouble with this stuff, too.
It's extra conspiracy tonight.
Hey, whoever drinks milk, you're drinking pus.
Oh, wow. That's really
I hate to say that, but it's made
but
for...
But let me tell you something.
Okay.
You know, the Scythians were called mare milkers. They were called galactophagi by the Greeks. That means milk eaters. And our ancestors, our Germanic Scythian ancestors, lived on basically nothing but the milk of their flocks for 2,000 years.
Well, I understand that, but look what they do to it. It's they destroy it before you can even get it.
Well, yeah, it's the all the Jewish middlemen industries do everything they can to destroy all sorts of food before we get it. So what else is new? I try to, you know, there's a farm here, and I try to get the milk off the farm when I can, but it's kind of like $5 a gallon, and that's expensive. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's probably some good milk.
Oh, yeah, it's real good milk. I love it.
I used to go to the Amish to get milk. I can't drink anything but raw milk. If I drink the other milk, it makes me sick. So I typically don't drink milk at all now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Once
they pasteurize it, I don't know what it does to it, but it does something to it. It makes it undigestible for me.
That's fine. You know, I've drank tons of milk all my life, and my son is lactose intolerant. He's in the forum here, and I don't I find it hard to perceive. I really do.
Well, I think it's the pasteurization process is the conclusion I came to, because if I go get the milk off the Amish farms that's completely untainted, I have absolutely no trouble. But if I have milk or ice cream, forget it.
Well, maybe I'll try
to get them. It messes my insides up.
Maybe I'll try to get them to try some of that, just for the hell of it.
Well, I don't think milk's all that important once you've grown up.
I'll tell you what. I'm in prison, right? I'm running all the time. I'm running like 3 times a week, 5 miles, 3 miles, 6 miles, whatever. And I didn't realize it when I did it, but I never, you got to get up at 5 a.m. for breakfast, and I'm going to bed at 3. I ain't getting up at 5 for breakfast. So I'm paying somebody to bring me back a quart of milk, and I'm throwing it on ice every day. And they have a big crackdown, and my milk supply gets cut off. And I don't think much of it. You know, I just go without milk. And within 6 months, I had plantar fasciitis. I swear. I could hardly stand on my feet. And I had to stop running. And I didn't run for a year. And I looked at everything I'm eating. And I got my mother to download I discovered what I had because of information she downloaded off the internet and sent to me. And I had her send more research. And I looked at my entire diet and realized I was getting about not 10% of the calcium that I should have been ingesting. So I had to start going to bed at midnight so I could get up by 5 every morning and get my ass to breakfast to get milk. Because it was the only way, it's the only meal they serve milk at. And within a year I was running, once I put milk back into my diet, within a year I never had the effects of the plantar fasciitis again. And I was running 6 miles again.
Have I been cut off again, I guess?
No, you're not cut off.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. I heard, you know, a chiropractor told me a long time ago that running's supposedly bad for you. You're supposed to walk fast. It's supposed to be better. Hard on your back and your feet or whatever. I don't know.
Well, that's an excuse I hear from a lot of people. I don't believe it. I mean, it's up to the individual.
I hear you.
I ran 3 to 5 miles 3 times a week for years and never had a back or in fact, I got more back problems now that I'm sitting on my ass all the time. I haven't run in a year. You know, I mean, I don't think there's nothing wrong with, I don't think there's anything wrong with running. There's nothing wrong with anything in moderation. A lot of people start running and they go out and they run 10 miles a day and think they're going to be marathoners. Those people have problems. But I mean, I could run 3 miles, 3 to 5 miles, 3 times a week and never have a problem.
Well, I used to do it when I was younger. It didn't bother me, but I don't get out. My leg's screwed up now, so I don't get out and run too much.
Yeah. Well, I've tried to substitute walking for running, and it doesn't work. I've gained 30 pounds since I've been home. Not running and thinking that walking was going to do it. And walking doesn't do it. I'm sorry. I got to get my ass out and start running again.
Boy, Wickstrom's program was really good last night.
Does he have a... a place where you can listen to back, you know, like recordings or anything like that?
All the talk shows, all the talk show, I mean, he does his programs on talk show. They all offer the archives. And as long as you record the program. I'm sure he records his programs. I would be surprised if he didn't. Some of these people, I'm sure, in the forum tonight, no.
Well, I'm only off on Mondays and Tuesdays, so I miss all the really good stuff. I don't get to get on the forum a whole lot. Not the forum, but the chat room a whole lot. So this Monday and Tuesday thing has been a real blessing for me. Except for Tuesday, y'all may not want to be a blessing after tomorrow.
I'm sure you'll do fine, James. Don't worry. Just relax. It's that's, you know, when I started doing this, I was all nervous and I just put it in my head that it's just basically a phone conversation.
That's true.
Is
you listen to my first interview. I interviewed Bill.
Excuse me.
Robert. I said you should listen to my first interview. I interviewed Bill.
Yeah, I thought you did. Everybody thought you did great. And so, one woman, I mean, I love her. She's a great source of support and sugar. It's, Judith Longman in Britain said that, I asked her if she listened to that Pro Think show and she said, I listened to it again and again. She loved it. And a lot of people, I had a lot of good feedback from that program.
Is the Tuesday show the same numbers as the one?
They're all different, James.
Some of them are just like Wickstrom's.
The Wickstrom's are the same because he uses the same call to do all his programs because he's the only one that does his programs, right? But not they're all
different each time?
Yeah, they're all different calls.
If you go on the Crystal Gina site and
His problem is he's not on the internet.
Oh, okay.
I gotta look up the, it's on my site, I know it. I gotta look up the call ID for the Tuesday program.
You had a couple of guests on there, some elderly individuals that were working on alternative energy, but I don't remember. I vaguely caught it one night in the middle of doing something.
No, that was RP, Bob. That wasn't James.
Okay. Okay.
James, the number for tomorrow night is 67473.
I think that's okay. I think I have that one. I believe I have that one. I had that number.
Well, you've been on it before. I mean, it's the fourth or fifth week.
Yeah, I've been about 3 weeks now, I think. Something 3 or 4 weeks.
Robert, that was RP Wake with the alternative energy thing.
Okay, I'm making a note of that because I'd be very interested to see what this gentleman came up with.
Yeah, that's funny, Patricia. I wish I knew what WSOD was and DMSO, and I'm not into all those drugs.
DMSO, I think that's a cleaning agent or something. I think I put it on, I think I had a real, it's a deep.
Oh, okay, Patricia.
It gets to deep pain. If you got deep pain, it'll really help you. I don't even hear about it anymore.
Yeah, they're saying.
I've used it, though, a long time ago.
They're saying it's a solvent.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it is. And I had a real bad pain.
There's a certain amount of sulfur compounds that are very good at correcting certain ails of the body. I know that DMPS and DMSA are very good for heavy metal poisoning.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I read ancient Greek history. I don't read about pelt.
I've had some experience the DMPS and the DMSA.
Okay.
They're just compounds, but the...
It's all Greek to me.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Can you... Warrior Son of David said poultice is good, too. Can you buy that?
Poultice, that's an old word, huh? I know that I've seen that word, and it might even be in the Bible, that word. It's an old English word.
Isn't that like something that you put on your body or on your chest or something like that?
It really beats the heck out of me. It could be lye for all I know. I mean.
Oh, well. See, I don't get into that stuff either. I used to.
It's not in the King James, but I know I've seen that word in some older writing, you know, in some older sources.
Make it from tree moss. Packed with herbs and other ingredients. Oh, Warrior Son of David said it's clay.
Okay. And Winter Wolf is probably correcting my spelling. Yeah, you know, I think I kind of remember it being P-O-U-L, but that's not the King James either. According to BibleWorks 7.
Bill, was that 67473? Is that what you said?
I'd have to go back and look it up again now.
Okay. For tomorrow? At 7 p.m. again?
8 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, 8 o'clock my time?
Eastern.
It'd be 5 my time.
Yeah. It'd be 6 my time.
The hits on my website have really taken off the last 3 weeks. And I know Mike contributed somewhat to that when he started linking me on his site and a couple other people. But I think that my hits have practically doubled the last 3 weeks.
Have you noticed that there is someone from Tel Aviv who keeps on logging into your site, Bill?
Yeah, and I caught the person from Tel Aviv on my site looking at English from Hebrew Part 4. Because that little spinning globe actually tells me when you click on that, the arrow that's going on like four ways, that four-way arrow,
uh-huh.
Little button at the bottom next to Revolver Maps, just to the left of where it says Revolver Maps. When I click on that, it tells me what page everybody on the site is looking at, which is a nice tool because I see what people are reading. And I caught the Jew from Tel Aviv looking at English is from Hebrew Part 4.
Well, you know what else you can do, Bill? Let me post this link in here. If you go to Craigslist is one of the top 10 websites in the country right now. And let me just show you. There's people out here that go into these rant and rave sessions, post links. You know, if people just spend 10 or 20 minutes a day, this is one right here. I'm getting hits from today. I've already gotten 20 or 30 hits just from this one.
From a Craigslist
guy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You can get several hundred hits every day from just spending 15 minutes on Craigslist. Here's just a sample of what you can put up there. I just posted that in the chat here. And this guy, he's got the website. He's a younger guy. He's coming around pretty well with a lot of these issues. But you know, I advise him to do this with his own site, and he always adds a link to my site on there as well, and I'm getting at least a few hundred hits a day just from him doing this. But he'll spend, like, what I usually do, too. It's 15, 20 minutes a day, and just like that sample page up there in Rant and Rave. Now, it will get flagged after a while, but it's based on a peer-based system, so it has to be flagged by a number of readers, not because they don't have enough – Craigslist doesn't have enough facilities to actually babysit these things like YouTube's got. You know, YouTube's owned by Google, so they have enough call centers of people to go through and make sure you're not making videos on Jews and such. But Craigslist doesn't have that, so they have to rely on the users that go and view this to flag it enough times, and then it'll be kicked off. But by that time, you've gotten a couple hundred people that have looked at it. Half of them have clicked links from it. And, like, it doesn't take that long. It takes, you know, literally 15, 20 minutes a day to spam the hell out of it. You're bringing in new people all the time. Yeah, and it helps out, and before you know it, your hits will just steadily grow. Even after you leave the Craigslist alone, you'll notice that you'll stabilize at a higher level of more people you brought in and on board with it.
Okay. I'll consider it. Maybe my son will volunteer for me to spend 15 minutes a day on Craigslist.
It's tedious, but, you know, there's no other way out there that I've found marketability that's free and brings in that kind of traffic, you know, for that little time and effort and being free.
I went job hunting on Craigslist when I got home, and all it did was get me tens of thousands of spam emails. I think my name immediately went on every spam list in the world when I responded to a few places from Craigslist. And I used a different email address, you know, a junk email address to do it with, but it was incredible the amount of email, spam email I got, like, almost immediately.
Oh, great. I just put something on Craigslist for my mother-in-law and used my email address.
Oh, yeah, you're toast. You would just go get yourself another one. I went
for 2 days without checking my email, and I had 250-some emails when I went on. I'm constantly having to go on that all day long just to sort out the spam. And
yeah, I was down to 60-something email messages in my inbox before I started getting ready for the Thanksgiving weekend, and now I'm well over 400 the last time I looked. I'm afraid to look. I can't possibly have the time to answer them all. Some of them are junk, you know, like the jokes and things people circulate around, but I usually try to eliminate them right away.
Well, Yahoo has gone to this very RAM-intensive new and improved email system. And, of course, my computer being older than Methuselah, it now takes me forever to wade through it anyway.
You know, for the short time that I was on that Yahoo list, that Kingdom Identity Yahoo list, I hated Yahoo Mail. It was absolutely horrible.
Yahoo used to be really simple, really streamlined. There wasn't a lot of bells and whistles to it, but it worked really well. And now they've just got all these adverts coming up all over the place. You have to wait for them to load, and it's very pixel intensive. And
they want $20 for, you know, for POP3 services.
Yeah.
Or so that you could get, IMAP access to a local mail client. And I get that for free from Google and Microsoft.
Yeah. I'm probably going to have to end up changing my email provider and probably definitely my email address, which everybody under the sun knows where to email me now, so that's going to be a pain, but, you know, it'll be done.
Well, before you do any of that, talk to me on the phone one day soon.
Okay.
Maybe we could hook something up for you.
Okay. Sounds good.
What else is going on?
The Jews are still up to their tricks.
Jason Bunn is actually a longtime friend of mine, and I'm glad to see him here.
Yeah, well, I was just asking him about his last name because a sister-in-law of mine is actually just cryptically married a guy with a last name Bunn, and you know, we've had some suspicions about the guy, what nationality and such he is, and now she's knocked up with him, and we wanted to make sure that the last name was decent old. And
yeah, it's definitely a German name. I mean, I'm not saying that a bun can't be a Jew, because Jews have stolen just about every German name, but they've stolen a lot of Irish and English names too. You know, and bun's a good old German name.
It is virtually impossible, even by appearance, to tell whether some people are Jews or not. I mean, they've so interbred with our race now that you just can't, I mean, you can't tell them until you talk to them and get to know them. And once you do that, then it becomes pretty evident, at least to me, that at the very least, they're not godly people. So, I mean, I know a Jewish woman right now. I mean, I didn't know she was Jewish. Goes to church and everything. And just found out, like, maybe a week and a half ago, she's Jewish. And I was shocked. Blonde hair, blue eyes, the whole thing.
Did she just take on the Jewish religion, or does she actually have Jewish blood?
She's actually of Jewish blood.
Well, they have a high adoption rate, but they also have a high intermarriage rate. And there can be, I've known a lot of blonde-haired Jews.
Yeah. Blonde hair and blue eyes.
Well, look at Scarlett Johansson and Goldie Hawn, and Jews, like, they're Jews by
yeah.
blood. I mean, it might only be a quarter or an eighth or a half or whatever, but, I mean, once you have the Jew gene, you have the Jew gene.
That's right.
There's no way around it.
That's right.
So I there was a yeshiva around the corner from my house when I lived in Bayonne before I went to prison. And half the Jewish kids there had fair hair or red hair or blonde hair and they had the sideburn thing going on with the big black floppy hats and the black floppy Orthodox Jew coats. And
well, I think a lot of Jews have always had, you know, some Israelitish blood in them. You know, they're not just completely non-Israelite. You know what I mean?
Well, it's they've mixed with every single race along the way, and it's I think it's probably more common that they have the genes from recessive genes from just about everything from the Moors to the Pygmies to the Mandingos to the Eskimos going on inside of them. I mean, they've mixed with everybody. But the bottom line is that if you have those recessive genes, they will come out. Those genes will come out. I knew this Jewish family when I was a kid, and the one brother was pink. You know, he was so white he was pink, and he had red hair and freckles. And the other brother looked like a swarthy, hook-nosed Jew. With greasy brown hair, and there was no way that you would not have thought he was a Jew.
When I was in elementary school, there was a kid that used to get picked on a lot, you know, and I always went after the underdog. So I'm gonna become this kid's friend. He had light brown hair. He had freckles. I mean, he looked like just a regular white kid. And I didn't know why he was getting picked on. It wasn't even my concern. I just knew that he was, and I was going to, you know, be his buddy, be his pal. And I walked with him to school every day. Well, it didn't take me long to realize this kid is just extremely annoying. And so I would start walking to school a little earlier. And I was walking to school one morning, and all of a sudden I hear somebody behind me just screaming at the top of his lungs. And he's got his hands or his arms down by. I mean, I can remember this to this day. I turn around, there he is standing there, just as stiff as a board, with his hands clenched in a fist and his arms down by his side, just stiff as a board, screaming, "You hate me because I'm a Jew. You hate me because I'm a Jew." I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the hell? No, I didn't say that because I was too young to even think that, but I was like, boy, this kid is weird. But no, I had been GYs from a very young age, so it was like, ah, that explains it. You know,
paranoia.
Yeah, he was just totally off his rocker.
Yeah, well, it's the way they act. They naturally act that causes you to hate them, and then
yeah.
Once you do hate them, they think it. They really believe it's because they're Jew. Well, it is, but it's not because they're called Jews. It's because they act like Jews.
Yeah, I mean, they really do act like really strange people.
Well, I mean, I've observed them all my life in Jersey City. And all the merchants in the city were, you know, when I was a kid growing up, the guy that owned the deli was a Jew. The guy that owned the liquor store was a Jew. The guy that owned the jewelry stores, of course, were Jews. The guy that owned the Five and Dime was a Jew. They were all Jews.
Yeah.
It was the stereotypical white neighborhood, and all the merchants happened to be Jews, just about. And you couldn't have you couldn't have cast it better through central casting.
I had a friend who used to live in Chesapeake, and Chesapeake has just become so niggerfied now, it's not even funny. Him and his wife, they left. They moved up to Pennsylvania to be with his folks and stuff. And he said that there was the little town that he lived in had one store, you know, that everybody shopped in. And there would be signs like if you bought a cup of coffee, because they had coffee brewing up front, you could only use two sugars, no more than two sugars, and things like that. He said to the lady behind the counter, why is this guy so damn cheap? You know, coffee's expensive as it is. Why can't I have four packets of sugar? And she said, because he's a Jew. And he said, I couldn't believe it. He says, everywhere I go, they're there. I can't get away from them.
And they're only 3% of the population, right?
Yeah,
do you
I mean,
believe
that's
that?
What they say.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that.
I think they're more like 20%, 15 to 20% of the population.
I
really think so.
I believe there will always be a small people, relatively speaking, but I don't believe that they're just 2 or 3%. I don't believe that at all.
You're actually talking that 2 or 3% is actually the real whites.
It
probably.
Might be.
they're imposters, so what they're doing is they've already traded places with us.
Yeah. It seems to be they've got to be at least 15% of the population. I mean, there has to be 45 million Jews in this country. I would think they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They really are everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, and they're running just about everything. Yes, Robert.
No, this is Mike. I totally forgot to bring this up. Might as well announce it now, but. That new domain we picked up that we'll be using fairly soon to get it up and running. It's not anything right now, but as time goes on, it'll grow. But identityradio.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those interested in, I guess, going to identity shows and finding them on one page or a schedule, we'll end up building that website up and then put a bunch of links on there to different sites and such like that. And maybe even set up a forum or something. You know, the more websites they get on Google search engine, the better.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I can't wait to see that or to get it going or whatever you want from me.
Yeah, I'll get it pointed right now. I'll get the domain forwarded to the because I was just playing around with radio.jesuswasnotajew.com. It's just kind of a little basic radio page, but I'm going to get working on it and actually have it set up so it's, what I want to do is run some server programs. If we got anybody out there that knows how to run, audio server programs, then what we could do is just get a master chat room on the front of the page and have high quality sound running from it and, do it like that. You know, that way it talks you, don't ever have any problems with TalkShoe kicking us out or whatever have you, but that's down the road. It's always more projects and more time spent and, you know, however that goes.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the way it is. There's always six projects on the burner and one on the plate. That's the way it should be.
Yep.
And if you wake up this in the morning and you didn't do anything yesterday to piss the Jews off, then you didn't do anything. And that's the attitude we should all have.
Exactly.
Well, they sure do enough to piss us off, so we may as well return the favor.
Absolutely.
I mean.
I was going to say something, I can't remember. Oh, anybody ever thought about the scripture where it says, and I can't recall, it's in Revelation, about the stars withdrawing their shining? I for some reason that scripture keeps coming into my mind, and I think about, does that mean that we are going to become less prominent in society? We will kind of withdraw from
That's already been done. I mean, this just popped into my head. I read the Wall Street Journal for 15 years, and the last 7 years I was still in prison. I had read it in the street for 8-10 years before I went to prison. Well, I noticed real early that whenever any Wall Street Journal article quoted an expert in any field, it was always a Jew. You know, it was like the good old Goy's networkers. I don't know. It was like they knew not all the writers were Jews, and when they needed something, they called one of their buddies, and their buddies were Jews.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what popped into my head when you said that the stars shall withdraw their shining. It's actually in Joel 2:10 and in Joel 3:15. And Joel 2:10, I want to look at this and see what it's about. I don't have those verses in my head. All right, I'm pretty good with Bible words. It says that. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And it's talking about the end time, and it says that the stars shall withdraw their shining. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now usually, and I could demonstrate this in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the sun and the moon, it's basically talking about the it's not talking about God himself or Yahweh himself. It's talking about it's hard to explain. It's talking about the major powers of the governments on earth and the stars of the children of Israel.
Right.
In other words, in the book of Revelation, where it describes that the sun will grow dark and the moon will not give its light, it was talking about the Roman Empire. And the stars fell from heaven, and it talked about the people that hid in the holes of the rocks and asked the mountains to fall on them. It was talking about the coming destruction of the Roman Empire. And the stars that fell from heaven in that case were the Goths that descended on the empire and destroyed it. Well, here it's the children of Israel in the book of Deborah, in the song of Deborah, fought as, you know, the stars in heaven. It's usually a reference to the children of Israel, when the stars are mentioned in prophecy.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And this is in Joel 2:10, where it's mentioned it's in connection with an end time prophecy.
Well,
it is in Joel 3:15 also. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Now this is a reference to Ezekiel 38. For the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision, and the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And I think that's a reference to, it could be a reference to the, the fall of our government, but it could also be a reference to it falling or becoming at least insignificant.
Yeah.
As you know, the Roman government, it never really fell, the government of the emperor in Rome. It became insignificant. Like nobody listened to it anymore. It didn't mean anything anymore. They just ignored it, the people. It had no power throughout its empire. It became a figurehead for its last years. And that's actually for about the last, from the time the Huns invaded. And they had to pay it off. And now what's Obama doing? He's bowing before all these foreign heads of state.
Well, he's bowing before the Jews, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, before the Sod Eyes and before the Japanese emperor and everybody else.
Yeah.
And that, to me, signifies the sun growing dark. You know what I mean? The sun and the moon growing dark. And then the stars shall withdraw their shining. So there may be some serious parallels going on here is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad to see it happening. I mean, you know, I know it's disheartening, but to see it all coming into play now and knowing that we're pretty close. I believe that we're really close right now.
It's coming like crazy.
Well,
yeah.
we all sure as hell like to hope that we're really close right now.
Yeah.
Well, we can't do anything until Babylon falls.
Yeah. I was reading an article. They said that by spring of 2010, the banks will declare insolvency. Of course, you know, you never know if any of that's going to really happen. But
Well, I ignore all that shit. Because, you know why? Because I've been hearing about it. I got involved in an identity in 97. And right away the Y2K panic was setting in. And I'm looking, and people in Michigan were sending me all of this Y2K literature. And some of it was actually, some of the people here know that I'm talking about, some of the identity pastors on TalkShoe when I mentioned this, that were real hep on the end of the world being Y2K. And it came and went, and nothing happened, of course. Well, I was involved in IT in the mid-90s. And I knew that nothing was going to happen with the whole Y2K thing, that it was all unnecessary panic. And it was the Y2K thing came and went. And ever since then, I've been seeing articles, the economy's going to crash in September. The economy's going to crash in April. The economy is going to crash in September or October every year. And every September comes and goes, and every April comes and goes, and another October comes and goes. And there's a million people out there predicting the end of the world every couple of months.
Yeah.
And they're the same damn people over and over again, basically. It's a culture of fear. And we as Christians are not supposed to be concerned with any of that bullshit. With none of it. The hell with them. I don't care if the niggers take everything. I don't care if the Jews own everything. I don't care if all the banks crash.
Oh, I don't
know. It
don't
matter. When it happens, it happens.
I just think that, you know, I look at that stuff as just with hope, you know, that this is finally coming to an end. That's the way I view it. It's not with trepidation. Believe me. Hope.
Yeah, but I mean, I just get disgusted because I get 50, 60 emails a week telling me that the end of the world is any time between next week and 6 months from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're all just and a lot of those emails are from identity pastors who should know better. They should know better, but they are helping to breed the culture of fear. And we're told that we shouldn't be afraid of anything.
Yeah.
The scripture says we shouldn't be afraid of anything. And right, Gary North is one of the biggest clowns in the business. And he probably makes a handsome salary being a clown like that. I've been reading Gary North, and you know, somebody in prison, Ralph Daigles, and a Paul-bashing identity pastor in Michigan, sent me Gary North articles and all kinds of crap like that for years. and everything they predicted for 10 straight years just never materialized. How do you keep reading the crap? How do you keep listening to these people and sending them their $30 a year or $40 a year for their newsletter? It's retarded. Right, Pilgrim, you're a good woman. It's a culture of fear, and they make a lot of money on it. And it just irks me to see identity people caught up in that. Because identity people are the ones that should know better. Let the Jews go buy their damn Gary North's newsletters. That really strikes a chord with me.
I see that.
And I'm really surprised at some of the people that email me those mailings like that spread that crap to their mailing list. You'll never see me spread anything like that to my mailing list. I wouldn't bother the people that subscribe to my mailing list for that garbage. Okay, I'll get off that rant. Anything else? You're probably sorry you brought that up, aren't you?
Well, no, I read a lot of economic papers because that was my specialty.
And, well, that's another. I understand that, but that was, you know, Richard Kelly Hoskins. He writes a lot of good stuff. He's out there on a few things, but he's tracking the stock market at every issue of his newsletter. I don't get that either. The hell with the stock market. Christians shouldn't have any money in the stock market.
How old is Hoskins now? He must be a pretty old guy.
Oh, he's got to be about 135, I think. I think he was a Civil War vet, actually. I don't know how old Richard Kelly Hoskins is, but yeah, he's up there. I know that. He might be in his 80s or something. I don't know. I got some books off him about 2 years ago.
Somebody was asking in a forum, what happens in the end time?
What do you mean, what happens in the end time?
Well, I responded, I said, blacks start raping white women unchecked.
Yeah, well, they're already doing that. Yeah, right.
Supposedly 25,000 a year.
It's supposed to be like 100 a day, and I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt if it wasn't 500 a day.
Well, now, you never know because they don't report a lot of it.
What amazes me is the number of white men that rape black women.
That is like minuscule.
And the three white men that raped black women last year really didn't rape them. They just didn't pay.
Hey, you got women on here.
And I'm sure they understand what I'm talking about.
I got to get off the phone.
Okay, James. God bless.
God bless. Y'all take care.
Anything else? What else can I rave about tonight? I'm sorry. You guys are talkative again.
I thought I wanted to bring up. A scenario of trying to introduce somebody to CI. Let's say I like to bring up, obviously, the John A. 44 topic. And you go, this is his words. This is exactly what he said. It's clear as day. What are some of the... Now, I haven't ran into somebody being able to defend against what he says in John 8:44. You are your father the devil. Your father the devil. I mean, it's plain as day.
Right. They really twist his words to escape it.
Now, what are some of the defense that, say, a Judeo-Christian can come at you with? And then I'd like you to respond with... How do you defend against some of their best defenses against that?
Well, it really has to be taken on a case-by-case basis. And I don't even know what would be a good defense against that. That they usually mainstream Christians try to say that he's not talking about their real father. That's a spiritual father. And there are places to go from there, like Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. You know, the Jews that say that they are Judah and are not, and they're lying, and they're the synagogue of Satan. And there's
the that's the next one I bring up all the time, because I go, synagogue's a proper noun. It's not a mosque, it's not a church, it's not a generic place of worship, it's a synagogue, a specific place that Jews go to worship Satan.
Right. And the another good place to go is Luke 11:47 to 52, I think it is, or some 55 or something like that, where he tells the he tells the Judeans that they're responsible for the murder of all the prophets from Abel to Zechariah. And in order to be responsible for the murder of Abel, they have to be the descendants of Cain, period. They can't be the descendants of Seth. Seth didn't kill Abel. Only Cain killed Abel.
He said that was Luke 11, what, 35?
It's like a Luke 11, 47 down to about 55 or 51, something like that.
Okay.
And then there's 1 John 3:12 where John explains that Cain was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And there's a serious mistranslation in the King James there.
Well, it's kind of like when you bring up the synagogue of Satan, that kind of leads you to say, well, the word Jew, you got to get into the word Jew at that point. And that's where people start thinking you're bringing them some, you know, but it's true. I mean, you have to identify the fact that the word Jew itself was not a created word so much later on in, what, 1600 King James?
Right, and the word is always Judean. It's always Judean in Greek. It's never anything else. And there are places where we like to translate it Jew because we know that they're talking about the Edomites. But you see, the real proof of the real proof, you know, you could go to Romans chapter 9, and there are things that you could see in the New Testament, but the real proof of the story is outside the New Testament, in Josephus, and in the history of Judea, and how the Edomites were folded into the Judean kingdom. However, you can see it in the Bible if you go to Ezekiel chapter 35. Yeah, you know, Ezekiel chapter 34 is all about lost sheep. And Ezekiel chapter 35 basically starts off with an explanation that Esau is going to make those two countries his, meaning Israel and Judah. So that's Ezekiel 35, right? Shows that Esau is going to take Israel and Judah and take possession of that land after the Israelites are deported. That's what that story's about, Ezekiel 35. 35 and 36. And then you go to Malachi chapter 1, and you show how Yahweh loved Jacob and hated Esau. And it gets pretty cryptic, but it can be seen by anybody with eyes that the theme of Malachi chapters 1 and 2 is actually that Yahweh rejects the priests because his covenant is with Levi. Well, if the Levites are priests, thank you. If the Levites are priests, then he wouldn't reject them if his covenant's with Levi. But their sacrifices aren't acceptable to him. And he says it's because his covenant is with Levi. And that whole thing intones that they're a priest, that they're a priest who are not Levi. Maybe that'll cut that problem out. That whole thing intones that they're a priest who are not Levi. Now,
so would you say like the best and ultimate starter verse still then would be the John 8:44 then and work out to these other ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I think, because it's so plain. And now, if you follow Malachi and Ezekiel, and you go to Romans chapter 9, and you'll see that Paul starts out caring, and it's mistranslated. I advise that you check my translation. You see that Paul only cares about the Israelites who were in Israel, and he says that not all in Israel are of Israel. And he goes on to Romans 9:13, and he compares, the whole thing is a comparison between Jacob and Esau. So in Ezekiel chapter 35, we see that Esau plans to take over Israel and Judah, okay? And in Romans chapter 9, we see that Paul's saying that not everybody in Israel is of Israel, and he makes a comparison between Jacob and Esau. So it's very clear from all this, you could make a clear picture that a good number of those priests and people in Jerusalem are really Edomites and not Israelites. And that's why in John chapter 8, verse 33, they say that they're Abraham's offspring, but were never in bondage to any man. The only offspring of Abraham that could make that claim are the children of Esau. The children of Jacob can't make that claim. You follow me?
Yeah.
And the reason for all the division in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, is because half the people are really Edomites. And they've taken over the priesthood. But to see that they've taken over the priesthood, you really have to go outside the Bible into the histories of Josephus. And that's where the proof lies. And Eusebius also mentions it, who wrote a church history in the 3rd century, 4th century. However, if you remember John 8, Revelations 2, 9, and 3, 9, Luke 11, 47 to 55, 47 to 51 maybe, Ezekiel chapter 35, 34 and 35 and 36, Malachi chapters 1 and 2, you come full circle, Romans chapter 9, and the proof is all in those chapters.
Have you ever thought, you got this, the New Testament, and it's translated. Is it the whole thing at this point?
Yeah, it's been done since, it's been all on my site since April. It's all there.
Have you thought about publishing that, say, on Lulu, so you can maybe, like, recoup some of the website money and stuff?
I do want to get my New Testament published. I have three books. I have a translation of Luke and Acts with 2,500 footnotes. And I have a translation of Paul's letters with 1,200 footnotes. And then I have a translation of the entire New Testament alone. And I plan on doing the rest of the New Testament. I'm hoping to start John this January. And there'll be a few thousand footnotes for my John translation. I have a lot of typing to do. I have a huge task in front of me yet. But I do, the New Testament translation has been completed for some time now. The notes are very time consuming and tedious. Translation notes. If you saw my Luke notes, I mean, for Luke and Acts, I got 2,550 footnotes, I think it is. That's a lot of notes. That explain why my translation is the way it is compared to the King James and all of the major different variations amongst manuscripts and things like that. It's pretty scholarly.
Yeah, there's a lot of time.
Yeah, but my actual translation of the New Testament has long been done. I mean, I'm confident in my New Testament translation. And it's been finished for some time now. I made sure I finished it before I left prison. Which it actually took me probably about 4 years, but I worked on a lot of other stuff in between, you know. And that's with the notes that I have so far. My John notes are sitting across the room in 12 notebooks.
Oh, man.
They just got to be typed and went through again and straightened out and edited here and there. But, yeah, that's a task. So that's how I hope to spend this winter, or at least a good part of it, is on my John notes. If you read my translations of John, say 1:11-13, it seems to be very radical compared to what you read in the King James, but I could defend my Greek. I could defend every word of it and explain every word of it. From other scriptures also, and from Greek usage in the Septuagint and things like that. Well, my son just left the chat. I didn't get a chance to say goodnight to him. That's okay.
Yeah, it'll work there. It'll work.
Yeah, my entire translation is on Christogenia. And if you want to post it anyway, you're welcome to it.
I will definitely do that.
Yeah, I encourage people. There's separate individual PDF files that I have that are available. There's like 26 books, right, I think? It's I encourage people to post them. What's up, Winter Wolf? Why don't you call in?
Yeah, call in, Winter Wolf. So did, I don't know if you guys heard, but, you know, there was miniature nukes used in the World Trade Centers.
Do you think the Jews would even risk the fallout, hitting the Diamond District or something?
That's why I want to wonder what to call in and give his input on that show as an outside listener to that, because... People, the response I've gotten from that, from several people now, is quite hilarious. So, Witter will go ahead and call in and get some response to that show.
Yeah, come on, Winter Wolf, call in. Don't be shy. That's what Monday nights are for.
Open forum for call-ins. Yep.
Robert's awfully quiet tonight.
I'm trying to get some work done at the same time listening and talking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think the thing you forgot there is it's Generation 4 nukes. They don't put off any radiation.
Yeah, you know, Patricia had a couple of good websites, and one of them, it was very convincing that you know, these explosions were... The explosions precipitated the building coming down, so it wasn't just an accident that the building fell down or the plane crash that made the building fall down.
There were explosions in the building, and they were recorded. I'm pretty sure Mike has some of that stuff on in his movie, or it was I saw it in 9/11 Mysteries.
Right, but the website didn't convince me that it was nuclear. My son thinks that, you know, my son's been to every Navy, you know, all the Marine demolition schools, and he has 2 years' experience blowing up cement buildings in Iraq. They may not have been 110 stories tall, but he said that most of the Marines that he's spoken to, you know, the instructors and things in these demolition schools, they're all pretty much convinced from studying the situation that it was probably just C4.
Hey, you got Winter Wolf on now.
How
you doing, Winter Wolf?
Hey, this is Winter Wolf. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, good to talk to you.
Great.
The question I had for you, and you'll have to forgive some of my ignorance, I'm not CI, but I'm somewhat familiar with the basic doctrines. A question I had, if you wouldn't mind talking about it, was what is your, from a CI perspective, interpretation of the Matthew 24? Hang on a second, make sure I get my. Yeah, the Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 passage around that area. We're talking about the Canaanitish woman whose daughter was...
Well, there's a whole paper about that on my site called Don't Be Confused About the Canaanite Woman, and I'd invite you to read it.
Okay. So can you just give me a little short before I go there?
Well, it was a common thing for a supplicant to approach somebody that they thought was a general, a statesman, a prominent public official, or anybody with authority, to supplicate them by grabbing onto their garment and begging something from them. It was more or less a Greco-Roman tradition. And so the scene itself, it is a fairly normal scene in the Greco-Roman world. And I believe that the woman more or less gave Christ not much of a choice but to grant her her wish under Greco-Roman tradition. Now that's the first point. It was the same way that somebody would have addressed Caesar or the conquering general of a city, and that's the first point. And the second point would be that there is a promise to preserve the serpent seed as well as the seed of the woman. And that's the second point. And the third point would be that there is no, even in the mind of God, there's no reason for undue torture and suffering. And if the woman wanted to relieve her daughter of this, and she recognized the truth and professed to the truth that she was worthy of her daughter being healed. However, this does not make the dog into a sheep. It does not change the nature of the dog. Do you understand?
Oh yeah, I follow.
She's not going to heaven just because her daughter was healed of the demon.
Okay, well, I appreciate the overview. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's my opinion, but I don't know if there's if somebody has a better idea. But the woman, a lot of people try to deny that the woman was a Canaanite. And there's no denying that the woman was a Canaanite. She was definitely a Canaanite by race. And I pretty much demonstrate that in my paper.
Okay, I'll make sure I read it. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Winter Wolf.
Yeah, what's up, Mike?
What'd you think about that show?
The one with Bill Fink and Bob Ashton and that French John.
Frenchman.
Yeah.
Yeah. that was knocked out of the park pretty quick there. That was painful to listen to after a while. He just got totally owned. I almost felt bad for him because he just didn't know when to throw in the towel. Because he really had his hind end handed to him.
I kind of felt the same way. Like we were just beat the shit out of it. We were beating up on the guy after a while. It went on way too long. You're right about that. He didn't know when to cry uncle.
I think he was taking some enjoyment out of getting us frustrated.
Well, I mean, I didn't hear much in the way of frustration out of your voices, other than the fact that, you know, frustration that, you know, he wouldn't, his argument was basically the information is out there. He would never, you know, present a synopsis of what his view was or any, even come close to any evidence that he was asked for his position. And he was all over the map. It was pretty sad.
Right. He was answering questions with questions and answering calls for evidence with supposition, and it was terrible. He had no hard data at his fingertips, none.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to – he knew he was coming on a call, and that was what they were going to talk about, was the nukes, no planes theory. And you come onto the call where you know that's what the question is going to be about, and that's where you're going to have to kind of defend your position, and you don't have your material at your fingertips, that's, you know.
Right.
That's pretty slipshod at the very least and disingenuous at worst.
I absolutely appreciate your observation of that, because that to me was the central point, that if you're going to run your mouth, you better have the facts at your fingertips.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious after a while he was not going to be able to come up with anything solid that someone could go and look up from any source that wasn't
right. If we're in a debate and you have a website, and that's fine, and the website should be a secondary reference, you should be able to tell me, to convince me why I should go check the website.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, some of the claims he was making about the cars being flipped over and evidence and the EMP and all this stuff, I'm like, where are the pictures?
Yeah, really.
In a credible periodical, because there's no way they could scoop up every cell phone with a camera on it, every disposable camera that was nearby at the time, every guy with a camcorder handy. And in New York, you know, there's plenty of them because there's people just waiting for a chance to catch something on film.
Right. I was really surprised that there weren't even more films, or maybe we didn't see a lot, but I know that, you know, I grew up around there. I grew up in Jersey City.
The thing was a little early. The thing that killed me, though, about it was it was like his argument, he would make an argument that, how should I phrase this?
He would
make an argument that, you know, his sources, you know, should be believed regardless of whether they're Jew sources or not. But the original reference to him have all been taken off the web.
Yeah, right.
All right. Yeah, there's evidence, but it's now gone. I could prove this to you, but the stuff is no longer in existence. It's all been covered up.
And that was part of his argument. You're right. I clearly remember.
All right.
So
he's saying there is evidence, but it's impossible for me to cite it because it's now been covered over, and so that's the best he could do, basically, which really was pitiful.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I thought it was pitiful too.
And that's, I think Mike hit it on the head. I mean, even if the guy is genuinely believes that's the scenario, at which I have no way of knowing whether he does or doesn't, but if, assuming for the sake of argument, he really believes that that's the way, the how it played out was these mysterious micro nukes that don't leave any traces of, on a guy that can be picked up on a Geiger counter. Okay. Slick argument, that's correct. All right. Given that's the case, there's got to be some kind of independent observation somewhere. It just blew my mind. His arguments were so weak.
Yeah, I thought the nuclear thing. I want to see evidence. There has to be evidence.
Yeah,
you should be able to go there with a Geiger counter and measure it.
Yeah.
And why wasn't it done by anybody? Any of these conspiracy theorists? I haven't seen hard data.
Yeah. And the other thing that concerned me was, it was like Mike was pointing out, the making this argument that it was the micro nukes. All right, he hit the nail on the head when he said, you know, you tell all these people in these CI chat rooms who are Jew-wise, they know about the Jew. They know. All right, now they know that 9/11 was a Jew operation. they go to talk to somebody, and or they just happen to, in a conversation about if they're sharing their faith, if they're talking about, you know, what really happened to the so-called Holocaust. Okay, now they get on the subject of 9/11. Oh, by the way, it was it wasn't planes. It wasn't even thermite. It was micro nukes that can't be detected. It just makes it's creating a situation that's going to discredit whoever is repeating that.
Absolutely, I agree, and it makes the all the people in the forum look bad, and it makes the whole spoils the whole message. And it's not even it's not even part of the message.
No.
It's important to us who did it,
mm-hmm.
but how is not important to us. It's not important to me at all how they did it. I know who did it.
Exactly. But the main thing is that whenever somebody brings it up, you know, it's going to – if they even give it any credence, you know, somebody will be able to rip that to shreds in a heartbeat. And it makes the rest of them, oh, well, if this guy is so screwed up about this obvious inconsistencies and inaccuracies, well, what else are they sloppy about? This, information about the so-called Holocaust he's telling me is all fake. He must be nuts about that, too. Oh, this Christian identity stuff, well, you know, he must be nuts about that, too. It's, you know, it poisons, it has the serious odds of poisoning any further contact someone might have to get the message out.
Absolutely. I agree. And it's not,
I think it's kind of similar to that Arlene you were talking about.
Yeah, in a lot of ways he is. And you know, if you're going to have a contrary opinion like that with everybody else in the forum, and it's going to spoil the Christian identity message, and you really care about Christian identity, then just keep your mouth shut, because it's not the purpose that we're here for. Yeah, you know, whether or not it was nukes or thermite, nobody in this forum really cares about that. We all knew who the hell did it. That's all that matters.
You know, as someone who's not, I didn't come into this through the 9/11 truth movement like Mike did, but to me, it's still somewhat interesting, the technical aspects of how it was done. But
well, yes,
the
is,
most
but...
important thing is, you know, yeah, I like to know about the physics of how firearms work, too. But, you know, if someone I care about is shot, I'm more interested in making sure we know who did the shooting so they can be punished.
Absolutely. And putting no rag on a wound or something.
No.
so it may not bleed to death.
Yeah. Exactly.
But every time the subject of 9/11 came up, this guy started running his mouth about nukes. Every single time. And arguing about it vehemently.
And that's why he got handed to him.
Right. He deserved it.
Yeah, he got his hiney and handed to him. And it was well deserved. It was a mess.
There are actually a lot of things I see scroll by when I'm doing a program that I don't agree with. Or that I think most of it's petty, but I'm not going to bust guys' balls about it because it's petty and it's not central to the message.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how you feel about some of the quotations from the church fathers, but this one always struck with me. You know, brothers, in the essentials unity, in the non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. And to me, that seems like a good way to handle it. If it's something that's essential, then, you know, we have to be unified on that. If it's something that's non-essential, you know, we're free to disagree about those issues.
Right.
But
we
don't go out of our way to be, you know, jerks.
And I came into identity really from a, well, when I came into identity, I started studying classical history. And I really don't, the church fathers are not important to my Christianity.
No, well,
but they all were.
They're not important. They weren't important to mine either. With the exception of they provided some background on the history of how some of these doctrines developed.
Well, right. They all were worthy of study.
But
there's no doubt.
And they all, like everyone else who spends their time studying the Bible, some of them had some really good insights.
Yeah, I've read Tertullian.
But other than that, it's secondary.
I've read Tertullian, and he has, I would love to have the time to take De Spectaculis and make a modern take Tertullian's words but adapt it for the 21st century.
Yeah, that would be
for the footballing beer crowd.
Yeah, I think that would be valuable
because it's actually extremely it's extremely apt for today's day and age. Because we live in a bread and circuses culture all over again. And that's one of the things that I had on my mind while I was in prison. My sentence wasn't long enough to get all the writing done I wanted to get done. I'm sorry.
Tertullian would be good. Irenaeus would be good. Several of them that really get on the Jews would be good. But again, like you say, it's not one of the essentials. You can have a perfectly good understanding without having to go to them. But like I said, there is some value in them. So, but yeah, that was pretty sad. That's about the first 20 minutes. It was just like beating a dead horse.
I don't understand why you're not identity, but you should probably check my. I recommend you check my translations out when you get a chance.
I'll be happy to do that.
They're all on christigne.org.
Oh, I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but listen to that first show you did with Mike and Bob Ashton, and I called him later, Mike later, and I said, I don't know if it means anything to you or not, but the stuff that Bill, because I'd never heard of you before, the stuff that Bill was saying was actually factual. I have a theological background, so a lot of the, I'm not unfamiliar with the scriptures and the history of the church. So I was like, it makes you feel any better. The stuff that he was presenting was factual. So,
well, thanks. I get everything I read from the class. You know, I've read Strabo and Diodorus and Herodotus and Thucydides.
And I'm really happy to hear you promote Josephus. Such a good history and some valuable insights in there. If Christians would spend time reading them.
Yes, the value of Josephus is twofold. First, his learning is the learning of the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee.
Yes.
And a learned one. And his learning reflects his teachings on Genesis and his translate. They're not really translations, but
it's more of a commentary. The first part of the Complete Works of Josephus is basically a commentary on the Old Testament.
Right, and it's highly valuable to understand how the Pharisees thought.
Yeah, and the second part is the history of the Judean revolt against Rome.
His history from the time of Alexander down is crucial.
Yeah.
It's critical to understanding the New Testament, absolutely.
Yeah, if you don't have some understanding of it, you miss a lot of the background.
Right. Paraphrasing is the word I was looking for. His paraphrasing of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, you know, where he does. It's very important to understand the, he's part of my Bible. Mm-hmm. If I want to understand a passage in the Bible, I turn not only to the King James and the Septuagint, but also the Josephus and the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're all part of my Bible. They're all important. And he's, there's a lot of insight. He actually supports the Septuagint readings and fills in some of the gaps in a lot of ways.
Well, Septuagint readings in a lot of cases are much more accurate than the Masoretic text.
Absolutely. I agree. But in some places, they're off the wall.
Yeah, they are. And it's interesting to note that when the writers of the New Testament quote the Old Testament, the majority of the quotations are more similar to the Septuagint than they are the Masoretic text.
Yes, absolutely.
And people should understand the Septuagint was the authorized Greek translation for
the Hebrew scripture.
For the Hebrew.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Outside of the Holy Land. So it did have the official seal of approval if you were a Greek.
Yes, it
or
did.
In Greek areas.
It was actually the for a long time it was basically the Catholic Bible was it?
Yes. Well, it was good talking to you. I want to read some more of your website. So I'll be in the chat and I'll be looking at some of your stuff on the website.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. Well, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Okay, Mike, Bob's busy. We're down to just you. Central California started coughing on me when I was talking, and I had to mute him.
All right. Yeah, I'm posting a link in the room here for you.
I should probably unmute him, but that was just terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't know who that was. I just posted you.
I'm sorry I did that.
Excuse me, Mike? Oh,
huh?
Oh yeah, thanks for posting my site.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. I just took it for granted. I thought he'd know where it was. I'm silly.
Hey, I'm missing who's on Sundays here. I'm trying to get this identityradio.com site here going for the show.
I don't know when Wickstrom shows are. I'm guilty of that.
6 o'clock.
Sunday that Pastor Dan has a show at 10 usually, and Eli has a show at noon.
Okay.
And Sword Brethren has a show at 4:30 and at 9.
Oh wow! So you got a busy Sunday. Okay.
Yeah. On Saturday,
Sword
Brethren has a show on Saturday, maybe two shows at 4:30 and 6, I think, or something like that. Pilgrim will correct me if I'm wrong, I hope. And Eli and I are on at 8 on Saturday.
Yeah, I think I got you guys down there on Saturday. Let me just check here.
And then we're on Friday night at 8, Eli and I.
Yeah. Somebody's asking in chat, when's my weekly show? I kind of, as far as my shows, I kind of just took the radio shows to a back seat. Unless I get a guest on or I get a specific topic
or
something like that.
Ass.
or I want to just obliterate someone on some BS. You know, I'll bring them on.
They're impromptu shows. I'm trying to find out when his shows are, and I can't.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, shows like yours, the Sword Brothers, and others are just, the great shows that are already going on right now. And I want to start sticking more to get more video editing and videos out. That's right, Bill. I want to get touch base with you again on getting a commercial video done for you for your site. And,
I know, that'd be great, and I could put it on YouTube and do all kinds of neat stuff with it. But
you just have to do a 30 second to a minute. You know, I could make it real nice and flashy, just something that'll draw people to it.
I don't know if I have the voice for it. You know what I mean? I got this.
But it doesn't have to be your voice. You can use a female voice. And just the script.
Okay.
Yeah, just the script. If you write a script out or start tossing around some ideas, you know, maybe we could do that after show this evening or tomorrow, whatever, you get a free minute, and then just kind of figure out some, like I said, it's just 30 seconds, something that's a catcher, you know, like a phrase or a short paragraph or, you know, whatever you want to throw in there. You can even use a clip from a show if there's a part of a show that you really nail something on the head. That you think we could use as a piece on there, or you know, somebody in the chat room's got something on there they think would be effective to throw in as a clip, and then we'll probably need somebody to do some graphics as far. Well, I could just use a screenshot of the front of your ChristyJenny.org site, and then from there just add a little music, text, and be done with it. And then like I said, that helps a lot, you know, especially with these video junkies out here now, YouTube and Vimeo and all the rest of them.
I got some graphics I like on Christogenia, but it's mostly weird stuff like 15th century German woodcuts of Jews sucking on pig tits, stuff like that. I do. I have a 15th century German woodcut of Jews sucking on pig tits, and, you know, suckling it a sow.
Oh man!
I forget where I have that, but it's on my site, and it's great. I scanned it out of an old book. It's a direct copyright violation, probably, but I don't care. I ain't taking it down.
Oh wow! Notice somebody is posting part two of Money Masters, Commander. In there, I just set up a page right here. For those that are really into just watching videos, I put a compilation of videos together. Obviously, some of them aren't up to par, but you get a lot of valuable information out of them. But it's got Money Masters, Missing Links, a couple of short bids and such like that. But it's like a one-stop page to get up. It's, yeah, well, hardly any of it's CI-related, though. But, you know, it's more just Jew-wise kind of ideal. But it's got all Money Masters on there as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's important. That drawing I was talking about is on the front page of my site, actually. I forgot I put it there. It's Jew Scholars and the Devil's Pig. That's an actual 1475 anti-Semitic drawing.
Oh, the one in the background of the Christogenia banner?
No. Scroll all the way down. Scroll all the way down under the ProSync TV video.
Oh, there it is. Yeah,
yeah, that's a real drawing from 1475. That's the truth. That ain't I like graphics like that are a little offbeat that nobody else has, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have a whole lot of graphics on my site, but.
Boy, that's a very telling picture there.
Oh, yeah, and it's 600 years old. That's great. I love it.
Let me link that in the chat room here so people can see what we're talking about. There you go.
I got another one that it's like the Trial of Christ. It's a medieval drawing of the Trial of Christ. And all the people that are adversarial to Christ in the picture have hooked noses. And Christ and his apostles have straight noses. I wonder why that is. The guy that did the painting knew something.
Name the monster in the dark.
Oh, you're playing that video. I got that off your site.
Yeah. I was trying to see what it was, but, yeah. You know, I might have to redo that video because when I first did that was when I was just coming around to some of the CI message. You know, that's how I came through all this, is I figured out, you know, the obvious thing. I saw somebody's YouTube video on there, Jesus Was Not a Jew, and I thought, man, that would be an awesome website name. And I researched it, and I finally figured out, I said, yeah, there's no way this dude is a Jew. It's the same thing they try to put Hitler under, you know, he's a Jew. And that's why,
yeah,
I bought the website. I mean, I set that website up, you know, kind of in my infancy stages of learning about this stuff. But I want to redo that video so the text in there is inaccurate, and there's some grammar stuff. Everybody knows that knows me, I'm horrible at grammar. But, it'd be a quick fix. I'd just do some overlap text on the stuff that's already present on there. It wouldn't take too long to re-edit that video.
I thought the video was good, and I could ignore the minor imperfections, you know. It got its point across very well, and that's what matters most.
Yeah, I want the whole idea was to illustrate, you know, the history of the most vile things that I knew that these people have done, and, you know, child sacrifice and things of that order were what I wanted to highlight on, and just so these people can, you know, so they wouldn't sit there and give me this excuse that they're confused, that they are God shows and they're just rebellious. So, no, these I don't care how rebellious you get, you don't go sacrificing little kids in your basement and slicing open their throats and drinking their blood and doing all the sick and demented thing these Jews do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that one Oprah clip, man, to this day, you know, it's like, would you really take in what that Oprah clip was about? And you know, this was back in her early days, you know, she wasn't the big Oprah she is now, but you taking the fact that you got a woman on there admitting on national television.
I was shocked that made it onto Oprah.
Yeah, I was shocked it was on there, too. But, I mean, you get this, you think, okay, so people saw this, and this lady's admitting to, first of all, her family, just two facts alone should blow anybody's mind, that her family had tracked doing these ritual baby sacrifices back to the 1700s, and she admittedly knew of Jewish families all across the country that did this as well. She made it the disclaimer that not all Jewish families do it, but that there were Jewish families all across the country, and they've been doing it since the 1700s. There you go. What? wait a minute here.
Well,
don't we be looking into this?
How many kids a year are missing in this country?
Over a couple hundred thousand a year.
Yeah. Where are they going?
Yeah, I could tell you who's not investigating them, and that should be, but...
Right. It's incredible. I mean, this is a day and age, you know, when look at it this way. When I got indicted and I was out on bail and looking at 20 years or whatever, I imagine that I probably could not hide anywhere. You know what I mean? With all the technology and everything they have in this country today, I imagine I couldn't hide anywhere. It wouldn't even be worth it even trying to go anywhere.
Exactly.
And that was my, and I still think I'm right for thinking that way. That if they wanted to find you, they definitely would. If they wanted to find 200,000 kids a year, they definitely would. But they're not looking in the basement of yeshivas. They're not looking in the basements of synagogues. Where the hell are 200,000 kids a year going? They're not all in the Meadowlands. You know, that's a lot of people. They're just not looking in the right places.
Not to mention all these parents out here that, you hear stories here and there about parents that are, you know, indigent and they're selling their children off and such. You know, I'm sure it's not uncommon for, you know, some white single mother to have a baby and think she can't take care of it and go ahead and get suckered into selling her kid off, not knowing ever what's going to happen to it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I really think that's a good part of the missing children problem. And it'll never be investigated by this government.
You know, the info is out there, though. If you look at the Franklin cover-up, and thanks for the Memories by Susan Ford, and what was the other one, Transformation of America? What's going on is out there. I mean, there are books that have been published on this kind of junk.
Okay. I'm not familiar because I'm admittedly, I'm culturally deficient. I understand that. I don't participate in...
Well, it doesn't really ever address the Jewish question.
I bet Wickstrom's probably got some of that stuff.
Yeah, I got a little bit on my side somewhere down the line.
Yeah, right. All I got is the Jewish ritual murder movies that I stole from YouTube. Cause I thought
what is that?
They definitely belonged on my site.
An interview I did probably, it had to have been over a year ago now, was with a guy who was, he considered himself to be an activist against circumcision. And I interviewed him together with one of the head midwives out of the UK. And basically what we did is we set the stage to explain how Jews have corrupted everything from the conception of birth until about 2 years of age. You know, and that goes through the birthing process, home birth versus hospital birth, the vaccinations, the indoctrination, the circumcisions, what they feed pregnant women, or, you know, it was a whole interview. I'd like to redo a whole other interview like that again because it's, you know, you got to, that's when it's most crucial is when, you know, when a woman's pregnant and having a baby is to be able to make sure that you're bringing them in right and you're not doing these very common Jewish destructions to an infant.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, like one of the things that this midwife woman was talking about was the fact that normally when a baby's born, they go ahead and cut the umbilical cord right away. And that's the final burst of I forget the name of the product that comes out of the placenta to the baby, but that final flow is what gives that baby that kick to stay healthy right from infancy. And the practice of cutting that umbilical cord and then keeping the placenta, and they found that they've, sold placentas for embryos and stuff like that, or what, I forget exactly. Oh, makeup factories and stuff like that.
Hmm.
I mean, pretty vile stuff. I'm pretty rusty on the facts, but I mean, everything we know is common: birthing, conception, pregnancy, first year of infancy is absolutely backwards from what it should be.
I believe it. We shouldn't trust the Talmudist. We shouldn't trust the Jew to do anything for us because he's got to poison it. He has to. It's his nature. When you have a religion where the chief priests or all these rabbis of this religion, all these, we could call them Jewish priests, that's what they are. All the chief priests of this religion find nothing wrong with sucking the penis of a little boy after they've circumcised him and swallowing the blood. There's no limits, Mike. There's no limits. There are no boundaries for these people.
I actually have video footage of that. Yeah, I have video footage of that exact practice right on tape. So anybody thinks that's not real, the rabbi, when he sniffs, he goes down and on the little infant and, slurps the blood. Pretty vile. But, I have the actual video footage of that, and it is disgusting.
Winter Wolf, 90% of all NT translations are going to be pretty close. It's the 10% that I differ with Green that are going to be huge. And I'll defend my Greek to anybody. He's asking about how different my translation is from James Green.
Well, one of the articles I had written quite a while ago, speaking of the 10%, is the equation to rat poison. It's very simple that, if you're going to poison something, if you're going to catch a rat, you're going to poison it. You're going to give it like 90% food, 10% poison, but the eventuality is you're going to kill the rat.
Yeah, right. I like to equate it to chocolate brownies. We could have the best chocolate brownie recipe in the world, and I'm only going to put about 10% cow dung in it. Are you going to eat the brownies? it's the same color. It's the same texture. It won't hurt you. Put 10% cow shit in those brownies. They're great brownies. Come on, your grandmother made them for years. People still swallow it down. Pigs feeding at the trough. I was one of those pigs. I can't. I'm fortunate and blessed for having gotten out of that mindset. But we were all there once, and that's recognizing that is half the battle. And that's the noble thing, is to recognize that we were all there once and try to pull as many of our brethren as we can out of it. And they kick and scream, and they don't want to get pulled out of it. They're like heroin addicts on life, The Jews are the heroin. You can't take their TV, their football, their nigger. They don't even realize they're engaging in nigger worship. They're idolatizing niggers. is basic with basketball and football and all that. And you can't convince them that they're doing that. It's incredible. There's no pill to cure them of it. I don't know. That they have to get woken up on their own. And they're not going to wake up until Yahweh, until God wakes them up. That's just the way it is. There are more and more people coming around. Oh, I'm convinced of that. That there are. I'm actually pretty pleased. It's a lot further along the awakening than I imagined it would be at this time. I mean, being secluded from mainstream society for so long.
Yeah, you do see the fruits of the labor coming to fruition at this point. It is growing bigger and bigger. Not going backwards, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. And that's good. And hopefully we'll stay on this track. It's gonna come to a point where there might be a face off because we'll definitely be a threat. To the status quo. But as long as we stay on the message that we're on, there's really nothing. It's facts are facts, and they'd have to outlaw facts to stop us. So they'd have to do what they've done in Europe and outlaw the truth, which they have done in Europe. They have succeeded pretty well at it. We'll see if they could succeed at it here. I know they'll try like hell. Wow, guest 17, I'm really sorry to hear that, but I'm glad you're here now. Yeah, you're right. If he could wake you up, he could wake anybody up. He said he even put a note in the Wailing Wall and wanted to help build the third temple. We'll have to talk one day, 17. You'll have to call in someday, some night on this Monday night thing. It's a little late now. It's almost 1 o'clock.
Yeah, time flies by me.
On this side of the
continent. Here. Yeah.
I'm getting kind of beat. I wanted to put some Mein Kampf pages up. I think I'll have to wait till tomorrow night. I got a whole bunch of books that somebody sent me that they look pretty good. They should be available. They're mostly reprints, but there's a book on German economic policy. They're all booklets, you know. Some of them are 60 pages. Some of them are 100. Some of them are only 30. German economic policy, the German labor service, German law and legislation, German political profiles, and Germany speaks, which is pretty lengthy. And they're all in, I only have them in pictures. I don't have them OCR'd yet, but I'm going to put them up in pictures first and work on the OCR over the course of the year. Just so that people could see them and download them if they want. It'd be great to find somebody that can OCR and edit books because I got tons of them. So I'm going to put them up this week. Kind of like I got the Mosley PDF library up on my site. All those Russia number one and all those books. I'll put them up like that. I'll put the pictures up and OCR them as I get time. There's a lot of work to OCR some of those old books and edit them all and make sure they're right. That's a ton of work. Okay, I think I'm going to call it a night. I'm tired. It's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, guys.
All right, well, thanks for having the show tonight.
God bless. And I'll see you tomorrow at 8, or if not, I'll see you over the weekend.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Take care. God bless. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.